93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. 93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
All right, today is Friday. It is March 16th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, an Amber Alert was issued in Mexico late Thursday night for Amy Yu, the 16-year-old Allentown girl missing since March 5th. Police believe she may be with 45-year-old Kevin Esterly, with whom she allegedly had a secretive relationship, according to Allentown police. In a criminal complaint filed with the department, Esterly's wife said he withdrew $4,000 from her bank account and took his car and personal documents with him. Yu and Esterly met at church. Yu is 4 feet tall, 4'11", and 90 pounds. Esterly is about 5'9 and weighs about 185 pounds. Authorities believe they may be driving a 1999 red two-door Honda Accord with Pennsylvania plates KLT0529. We talked about this earlier this week, but they put out an Amber Alert in Mexico for this girl. Six people are confirmed dead and 10 injured after a pedestrian bridge being built across an eight-lane highway collapsed at a Miami-area college Thursday. The violent and sudden collapse crushed eight vehicles under massive slabs. Authorities said the death toll could rise.
This is a horrific story, Kathy. And from what I understand, the bridge was built like in a day.
Well, like it was quick.
They put it up like super fast. I don't even know how they were able to do that.
So they didn't build it in a day. They built it and then they put it up. Basically, them putting it up was in one day, and it was like this big fanfare. People came out to watch.
Because
the
construction was something. It was a new type of construction.
Right.
And then so the people are stopped at a stoplight under the overpass.
The bridge, yes.
And it collapsed down on them.
Dear God.
The main focus is to rescue people, said Miami-Dade Police Director Juan Perez. As soon as those efforts are over, our homicide bureau will take the lead.
By the way, the bridge was built to help make the students safer.
Yes, that's what they said.
Safer as they cross over the street.
Yeah, because it's an eight-lane highway.
Yeah.
The main companies behind the bridge's construction have faced questions about their work, and one of the companies was fined in 2012 when a 90-ton section of a bridge collapsed in Virginia. In Miami, the 950-ton, 174-foot span was assembled by the side of the highway and moved into place Saturday to great fanfare. The $14.2 million bridge connected Florida's International University and the city of Sweetwater. It was expected to open to foot traffic next year. The National Transportation Safety Board sent investigators to the scene, and Governor Rick Scott said that he was headed there as well. The accelerated bridge construction method was supposed to reduce risk to workers and pedestrians and minimize traffic disruption, the university said.
See, I would pass on the company that already had a collapsed bridge in their history.
Gosh, right?
We got to rethink that.
So there was a 23-year-old junior who was on spring break there. Her name was Christina Rodriguez, and she said that she was not surprised when she heard the bridge collapse. She said she felt it was done too quickly to be stable and sound to support everything that was on there.
Wow.
MCM, the Miami-based construction management firm that won the bridge contract, took its website down on Thursday, but an archived version of the website featured a news release touting the project with FIGG Bridge Engineers, a nationally acclaimed award-winning firm based out of Tallahassee. The release said that FIGG had designed iconic bridges all over the country, including Florida's Sunshine Skyway Bridge. MCM said on Twitter that it was a family business and we are all devastated and doing everything we can to assist. FIGG said in a statement that it was stunned by the tragic collapse. They were fined in 2012 after a 90-ton section of a bridge it was building in Virginia crashed on railroad tracks below, causing several minor injuries to workers. The citation from the Virginia Department of Labor and Industry said that FIGG did not have the proper inspections done.
Wow.
Authorities have announced an arrest in last week's hit-and-run incident in Radnor that left a 69-year-old man dead. 30-year-old Kevin Gauguin of Paoli turned himself into Radnor Township Municipal Building Thursday morning. The incident happened on Tuesday, March 6th, just after 8 o'clock in the 500 block of East Lancaster Avenue. Police say 69-year-old Fred Gitterman was crossing Lancaster Ave when he was struck. He was taken to Bryn Mawr Hospital, where he was pronounced dead. Investigators say the driver slowed down but then sped off westbound heading towards Westchester. Authorities say that Gauguin tried to cover up his role in the tragedy. Upon striking the victim, the defendant drove off, and 24 minutes later, he was at his house filing a fraudulent insurance claim, the Delaware County DA said.
He's trying to pull off insurance fraud after mowing down a guy.
Yeah. Bail was set at 10% of $500,000. He posted the money and was released Thursday afternoon. A large contingent of the family showed up in court to support him. There's not going to be any winners here, his attorney said. A man was killed, a 30-year-old young man with a young wife and a 2-year-old baby. Their future and fate hang in the balance. Goggin faces 20 years in prison if he is convicted on all charges. All right, in sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
The Sixers won last night, beating the New York Knicks at a game in Madison Square Garden, 118-110. Nice. Joel Embiid had a game-high 29 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 blocks in the win. He will spend his 24th birthday taking on the Nets tonight at home in South Philly. Tip-off is set for 7 o'clock. The Flyers lost to the Columbus Blue Jackets, falling 5-3 at home and dropping their record to 1-6-1 in March. The Flyers had only one loss in regulation in February, but continue to struggle this month. They're on the road tomorrow with a game in Carolina against the Hurricanes. In college basketball, Devonte Graham, the Big 12 Player of the Year, finished with 29 points and led the top-seeded Kansas Jayhawks to a rough 76-60 win over the Penn Quakers in the opening round of the NCAA tournament. The Ivy League champs actually led by 10 in the early stages of the game, but Kansas eventually pulled away for the win. At a game in Pittsburgh, Dale Brunson scored 16 points and the Villanova Wildcats cruised to an 87-61 win over Radford. Villanova improved to 31-4 on the season, and Michael Bridges had 13 points and Omari Spellman added 10 points and 7 rebounds. The Wildcats play on Saturday against ninth-seeded Alabama. And here at spring training, the Phillies have a split squad game with one here in Clearwater against the Blue Jays and another on the road against the Tigers. Both games will begin just after 1 o'clock this afternoon. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kath. And yes, if you're just tuning in, we are, of course, in Clearwater, Florida, broadcasting live for the first time. The President and Steve Show has been here at Spectrum Field. We're very, very excited about it. And we already have our first guest this morning. It's going to be a morning of surprises. We're pretty stoked about it. And as we actually ran into our first guest in the parking lot this morning, I told him he was going to be on the show, and his quote was... How exciting for me.
He knows. He knows.
That was genuine.
It sounded genuine.
Come out very naturally.
Hey.
Did he flick a cigarette at you?
Bills manager Gabe Kapler is here this morning. Good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. I'm really, speaking of surprises, I was thinking about this. And when I was up in Philly early in the offseason, you guys kind of put me to work. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Yes.
Of course.
We had you sing songs and perform in front of a whole bunch of people at the Camp Out for Hunger.
Yeah, and in return, I'd like to offer you the opportunity to throw out the first pitch today.
All right.
Preston!
Me? Get out of here. Oh, my God.
Isn't that awesome?
How's that shoulder? How's that shoulder?
It's good. It's warm. It's ready to go. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's a pretty special opportunity. The fans of Clearwater have requested you.
Well, they know talent when they see it.
Dude.
No, like
that is so awesome.
Did Larry Boa throw it out the other day? Or was
the last couple have been Boa, President Obama, and you.
Preston, I can see it later on.
Oh, my God.
Being taken to the hospital with a severe shoulder injury.
As long as it's after the pitch, I don't care if I get a shoulder injury or not.
We've talked about this before, and there are two ways to do it. Straight ahead, normal, and then you can deliberately mess up. But get press as a result.
Well, here's the deal. I think you want
to get us press.
Put it across the right way. Do it. Do us proud.
No. Okay. I don't want no. I know the reasoning behind that, but I'm not going to be an a-hole on Philadelphia television. There's no way.
No, okay. You can't.
Just throw a strike, man.
Yeah.
Real applause, and the dugout will be on your side. It'll be cool.
Dude, this could be the beginning of your baseball career. Why not entertain that
it's
notion?
It's like that movie, right?
Absolutely.
The Rookie.
The natural. He didn't start till late. Well, he turned it into a hitting career. But anyway, God, I'm so unbelievably honored. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we have one more honor. John, I was just going to think. I thought Casey could come down to the cage and take some rips. And we want to just kind of see what you got down there. So we got you a jersey, man.
Wow.
Oh!
Wow.
Now the deal is you got to wear it all day.
Okay.
Oh, you gotta be in uniform.
Oh my God.
Oh, the full deal. You're
the whole deal.
The whole coat on the pinstripes, the pants.
I'm like a little kid here.
Oh my God.
This is amazing.
Look at that, Casey.
Socks, Casey.
Wow.
A halter top. That's what? Awesome.
Oh my gosh. I hope this is all double XL. It's all double XL, right? All right, cool.
Especially the cup, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I assume you have a number of players on the team that go shop at the Portly section, right?
Yeah. Well,
Husky.
Husky, I'm sorry. That's the word you use.
Historically, baseball players have not been the most in shape athletes of the four major sports.
Right. You're going to change that, though, aren't you?
Well, that is changing. That is changing, no doubt.
We joked this morning because they told us you were coming on early, Gabe, and Preston was like, oh, that's prior to his 20-mile run. That he had.
Yeah, on the way into the stadium, probably. Yeah.
Well, I love.
No, we were not this early.
We were looking at the different ways that you indulge, and that you're not so fastidious about your health regimen. Sometimes you'll have creamy vegetables.
I remember when I said, wait a second, that's not really my indulgence. My indulgence, seriously, is steaks, wine, cheesecake.
Okay, ooh. Cheesecake. That's my indulgence. That's a little more
cheesecake.
Those are good ones.
Anything with a little chocolate swirl in it, I'm into it.
He spent the whole weekend nothing but cream corn. You had to see it.
Dave, I want to ask you about spring training. This is my third time down here. I love coming. It's fantastic. And I want to know about your perspective as a manager. You were a player, obviously. And what is this time of year like for you? And what's the difference now as a manager versus as a player? Because it is fun. You're in Florida. You know, it's nice weather, especially compared to Philly. But
it's gorgeous.
It's a little chilly right now, but it's going to be 70 and sunny later today. So, and certainly better than the weather in Philadelphia. What's your perspective like at this time of year?
So early on, there was a lot of fun. You know, we were bringing players up to the front of the room. We were getting to know them, where they were busting some balls, and it was a lot of fun. But we've made that transition now. We're 2 weeks away. I'm already starting to think about Atlanta, New York, Miami, Cincinnati, how our rotation is going to line up. And, you know, quite frankly, the days aren't ending right now. We feel like we need 25 hours in a 24-hour day.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, you wake up in the morning, you get after it, your mind is racing with all the different thoughts and matchups. And then by the time you get home and your head hits the pillow, you know, you haven't stopped thinking about it all day long. We are squarely in work mode and preparation mode.
So besides the physical aspect and obviously getting the team up and running and having everyone, you know, run drills and so on and so forth, you mentioned the first part of that deal, which is the camaraderie and the synergizing and all that stuff. I assume they're equally important, correct?
And they go on all year long. You know, it's never going to stop. We feel like if we're going to raise the bar for our athletes, which we will, there are going to be times this summer when we have to have some serious, hard conversations. And frankly, some conversations coming up where some guys aren't going to make the club that are very difficult. The only way to have those conversations effectively is if you've built the foundation of trust.
Right.
And demonstrated to our players that you really care about them. I think we spent a good solid 2 months doing that. And so we're prepared to have some of those tougher conversations. And like I said, they're coming.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you about your mantra this season, which is be bold. And what exactly that means, because I was thinking about it too, especially to the guys that are going to have to fight for a spot on the roster and really go for it while they're here. Does that mean go all out? Does that mean try everything that you can? Does it mean be confident in who you are? What exactly do you interpret be bold to be bold mean?
When we discussed the initiative of be bold originally, we decided the way we would get a little bit more information is by asking the players what that meant to them.
Okay.
It was ideal. So I went around and I talked to some of our pitchers and said, hey, what does it mean to be bold on the mound? And like Vince Velasquez talked about delivering a pitch with conviction. The word courageousness came up, fearless. So bold is about being fearless, courageous, sharp turns around the bases, all sorts of energy, all sorts of intensity. Like all of these words are sort of like bold, and bold just is all encompassing.
But you can't dismiss the words. You have to know what they mean. I'm a little depressed.
That's right.
I thought it was be bold, and I thought this was I thought if any time for me,
I can see that hashtag really taking off.
Be bold. I'm nailing it.
I interpret be bold as like it's 3-2. You got 3-2 count, bases loaded, two outs, bottom of the ninth, and you lay down a bunt. That's what I think bold is, right?
I think there's –
Or is it stupid?
No, that specific
– They actually –
I wouldn't say stupid. What I
they
will
crossed
say is,
off be stupid is one of the options. But no, I don't mean to jump in here.
No, problem.
A lot of times what happens is that people don't realize it's important that to take a phrase, to work a phrase, to believe in what you're saying without just simply saying it. And that's got to be something you have to convey, correct?
There's no question. You have to live it, right? Yeah. And so we saw the Eagles live it. We saw the Eagles live it with their play calling. We saw Coach Peterson live it by telling his players in the summer when people thought they were going to be 8-8, that that's not who we are, that if they get the small steps forward in the development of some of their young players, and obviously we know who those players are, stepped up and had big seasons, and they're Super Bowl champions, right? The Eagles are Super Bowl champs by, in a lot of ways, having that fearlessness and that courageousness and just fit for us. We felt like we wanted to emulate a lot of what the Eagles
right,
did.
Right, right.
A bold maneuver, and it's not like unheard of is batting your pitcher eighth, and that's something that you've kind of been messing with a little bit in spring training. But I want to ask about that. I want to ask about who do you bat ninth? Like, how do you, you know, I obviously want to put J.P. Crawford there, but do you consider batting in that particular scenario, batting somebody ninth as like almost like leadoff minus, you know what I mean?
I think that's the right way to think about it. So if you think about the top four hitters in our lineup, and maybe it looks something like Caesar, Reese, Odubel, and then Santana, right? You want to have as many people on base for that group as possible. And in particular, the first two in the lineup. Let's say Reese or Santana's batting second. Well, now you don't want the pitcher making the last out of the inning in the nine hole. It's really nice to have a guy who's got some strong on-base skills, a guy like J.P. Crawford or Nappy, to be on base when Santana comes up in that big moment or Reese comes up in that big, big moment. You know, additionally, like that two-hole spot's a really important spot for us.
Yeah.
Most people think that you put your best hitter in the three-hole, and I understand that. But the two-hole comes up with runners on base more often than the three-hole does. So it's a big honor to hit in the two-hole for us. It's a big honor to hit in the nine-hole for us. It's a compliment.
Yeah, it's not a reflection of your game. It's a compliment in that particular situation.
That's right. We're trying to score as many runs as possible, have as many runners on base as possible for our best hitters.
I mean, it sounds so simple, you know, but it's true. You want more runs than the other team.
Yeah.
It's a bold. Be bold, get more runs. Right. I got it. Yeah.
It's so simple. Yeah, no, I love it.
But between simple and result is the Grand Canyon.
Is nuance.
Yeah.
No, that's right. Baseball is a beautifully nuanced sport.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And listen, we're excited to be here. It's our first time, and as you can see, we're strategically 10 steps away from the bar.
Yeah.
Right here as soon as the game gets started. But you guys are playing Toronto today. We'll be. I'm bringing my family. I have family that lives down here, so we'll be here tomorrow for the game against the Braves.
That's so cool.
Really excited about it. But
you got to get them here. Can anyone get here
for today? I don't know for the first pitch. I don't know. Skip, can I call? I feel like I can call you Skip now.
I feel like we've established that.
Okay, and Casey as well.
We talked about.
All right, yeah.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, maybe I can get somebody down.
Oh my God, Chris, you got to get down to the locker room.
I know, real quick.
Really, let's get serious about this.
All right, but anyhow, we know you got to run. You got work to do, so we're gonna let you get to that. And just thanks for taking some time to come by here. We're excited about the season, and we're stoked about you and your new relationship with the not only with the team but with the city.
Yes,
We know it's going to be a great fit, so we appreciate you being here.
I really appreciate it. Impressive. We talked about raising the bar, right? This is the foundation of trust.
Yes.
So when you go out there and you suck, we will raise the bar for you.
All right.
Just know that.
We trust
you, got my back.
You will suck.
That's good.
Be bold in your suckitude.
It's a good place to be.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right. Thanks so much.
Great to see you.
Manager,
nice,
let's hear it for him. Gabe Kapler, guys.
Yeah.
How exciting is that? Thank you, my man. All right. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're probably going to skip a song and get right into the entertainment stuff. I don't know, Case. What do you think?
Yeah. I'm worried
let's
about
wrap it up.
That batting cage.
I know. Case is already warming up. I'm warming up. We'll be back in just a minute live from Clearwater on MMR.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand and Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Are you ready for love? Well, Steven Singer Jewelers has hand-picked diamonds paired with beautiful mountings to create a stunning engagement ring that's ready to go right now. Check out his Ready for Love diamond engagement ring collection online at IHateStevenSinger.com and have it shipped immediately for free, all at the perfect price. One place, one price. Steven Singer Jewelers.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Is that Casey out there? down at the bottom of the stairs? What's he doing, like warm-ups or something?
He might be doing warm-ups. You know,
you see him?
He's going to be taking batting practice.
I don't know what he's doing.
He likes to run the steps, Preston. That's his regimen.
He's shooting baskets.
Is he?
We're doing a radio show, you idiot. What is he doing?
He's going down there to do the batting
practice.
Yeah,
they've got to have him right now.
They have to do it now?
Rodney's setting up so that we can go live with
okay.
him.
Also, that's...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, yeah, that's not Casey. That's a player.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I just called him an idiot.
Yeah. And you mistake him for Casey?
From here, he's wearing similar clothes as Casey, and he's a big dude. All right, anyway. Sorry I called you idiot, man. I don't know who you are. It's a bit of a distance. All right, so anyway, Casey's going to be doing batting cages, doing some warm-ups, and I guess they're going to have, I don't know who's going to throw for him, but I get to throw out the first pitch today. What a freaking morning so far, and the sun hasn't even come up.
You were completely caught off guard, but it gives you an idea how early they start the practice, because everything's going to be happening. I mean, they're going already in the dark, so that's pretty wild.
Absolutely. All right, so let's get into some other things. We're going to do a stupid question. Going to give away tickets to see Rain, the tribute to the Beatles, and Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, March 23rd through 25th, the Academy of Music. So, Nick, did you come up with a question for us?
Yeah, so I was the Phillies have played here. It's now called Spectrum Field. It used to be called Bright House Field since 2004. But for about 50 years before that, they played at another stadium here in Clearwater, Florida. What is the name of that stadium?
All right, 215-263-WMMR is the number, and we'll see if you can get that correct, and we will get ourselves a winner in just a moment. I'll go through some birthdays today, being the 16th day of March. Let me see. Celebrating birthdays today. Wolfgang Van Halen, bassist now of Van Halen, son of Eddie and Valerie Bertinelli.
Yes.
Although Eddie and Valerie haven't been together for a long time.
A long time. And he's good, right?
From what I understand.
He gets it done.
I've never seen him really play, but yeah, I understand he's a fairly decent musician. Eddie's impressed with him.
Wouldn't it suck if his kid sucked?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I mean, you're Eddie Van Halen's son, and you can't play to save your ass?
Yep.
How old is he?
He's 27. Today, so he is a member of the band. Also, Nancy Wilson of Heart is 64 years old. I was talking to, I forgot who it was yesterday, we were talking about Ann Wilson, what a great singer she still is. And but Ann and Nancy have, they don't even communicate
anymore. Really? What happened?
There was an issue. I think it was one of the husbands, either Ann's or Nancy's, hit one of the other kids.
Oh,
whoa.
One of the other, I don't know to what level, like spanked them or something like that.
It wasn't Cameron Crowe, was it?
Because they haven't been together for a long time.
They got divorced.
Yeah, so somehow or another, there was an incident between them in that regard, and so they don't even talk anymore.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Because I've always loved those guys.
Yeah, she's 64 today, Nancy Wilson. Eric Estrada.
Wow.
Punch. Frank Poncherello of Chips celebrates his 69th birthday today.
He is so cool because he gets the whole thing. And again, we talk about one of our favorite early internet memes was him pointing at the screen. It'd pop up, people would be working, and then suddenly it'd pop up on their screens. He'd be pointing at you saying you're a homo.
Yep. Flavor Flav has his birthday today, a Public Enemy. He's 59. Lauren Graham, the actress, Gilmore Girls, Bad Santa, and so forth, is 51. Todd McFarlane, the co-creator of Image Comics, which he brought you Spawn. He was the creator of that.
Huge baseball fan.
And McFarlane Toys, he buys memorabilia.
Yeah.
He is 57 today. And then the last birthday I saw is Gore Verbinski.
Yes.
Who is a director. He did the Pirates of the Caribbean trilogy and also is responsible for The Ring and other films. So he celebrates his 54th birthday today. All right, we're going to see if we have phones or not. I'm going to try this out. It might not work. If it doesn't, that's all right. We're looking for what stadium the Phils played in before Spectrum Field. So I'm going to click on this button and let's see if we can talk to Tanya. Is this Tanya?
Hi, it's Tina.
Oh, Tina, I'm sorry. Hey, Tina, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Wonderful.
That's a great connection.
So we are here at Spectrum Field, but before the Phils played here, where did they play?
Jack Russell Stadium.
That is correct.
Yay!
Absolutely right. All right, Tina, hang on the line. We're going to get your information. And for getting that answer correct, we are going to give you tickets to see Rain, a tribute to the Beatles celebrating the 50th anniversary. Of the release of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band for the first time, Rain will bring the historic album to life in its entirety for the Psychedelic Multimedia Spectacular, plus all of your early favorites, March 23rd through the 25th, the Academy of Music. Tickets and information at KimmelCenter.org. Let's get into some of the entertainment stories. Going to start with one about Burt Reynolds.
Yes.
82-year-old Burt. Made viewers of the NBC The Today Show do a bit of a triple take on Thursday when he shared that Sally Fields is not only the great love of his life, but he fell in love with her when she was 7 years old, and he would have been 18 at the time.
What? Holy Jesus.
The interview took a
maybe
strange...
Maybe that part could have been left out of the interview, Bert.
Well, it took a strange turn when Hoda Kotb had asked Reynolds who the love of his life was, and he said, "You're naughty. You really are." He said, "I'm dead in the water no matter what I say." He said, "Well, she was 7 when I fell in love with her. She stayed 7 for about 11 years, and I would say Sally." Sally, who is now 71, and Reynolds dated for 5 years in the late 1970s when she was well into adulthood after starring in 4 films together. But the surreal exchange didn't end there. During the interview, he also nominally about his movie called The Last Movie Star, but he also hashed out his relationship with his father, saying that his father never told him that he was proud of him, and he shared a troubling anecdote from his youth. He said, "He arrested me once for fighting. He threw us all in this drunk tank and then came down and told the rest, 'You can go home. Your father came.' And then he looked at me and he said, 'Your father didn't show up.' He said it was tough, but I loved him beyond." And then the interview took another strange turn at the end.
What the hell?
When out of the blue, he told Kotby that he was, quote, "so proud of you for not having your lips larger."
Wait, who did he say that to?
Hoda Kotb, who was doing the interview. "I'm so proud of you for not having your lips larger."
I mean, maybe he's like a little delirious, a little
he's
delusional.
An old man, yeah.
He's an old man, so maybe it's kicking in.
And I think he probably means, sir, I'm happy that you're one of the few people that hasn't gotten a bunch of lip filler like
No, he wasn't talking
else.
About a face present.
Oh.
No, that's how creepy it
I'm
got.
I'm so glad you haven't gotten labiaplasty.
Wait, but the Sally thing,
I don't know.
That's so bizarre.
Well, I think it could be, quite honestly, it could be that he was enamored of what a sweet little girl
and
she was.
And it came out the wrong way?
It's possible.
I'm guessing that's what that
because
is.
There's no way, I can't imagine even in a high state of delusion, you'd go on the Today Show. And let me tell you, I saw this 7-year-old and Mama Lucia.
Yeah. By the way, Hoda's response to him was, "Okay, Bert."
Yeah.
By the way,
have you seen what he looks like?
No, yeah, he's really shriveled up.
Super shriveled. He walks with a cane.
Yep. And he had a lot of plastic surgery, right?
He has, and he also refuses to not go. He has his toupee that's sort of outlandish. He's been wearing it for years.
Yep. Okay, speaking of outlandish, and this is legit. This is not dirty, really, but...
I already like it.
It dances on the edge.
I already like it.
It is two of my absolute favorite ladies in Hollywood, Kate Blanchett and Sandra Bullock.
Yeah.
And they are friends, and they do this weird beauty treatment, okay? So this is what...
Words double-headed figure into
well,
this?
Well, no, but penis facial does.
Are you kidding me?
No. All right, so Blanchett divulged a little routine during an interview with Vogue Australia. Here's what she said. She was talking about Sandra Bullock. She said, "Sandy and I saw this facialist in New York, Georgia Louise, and she gives us what we call the penis facial." And now, it's not what it sounds like.
I know. How can you not know it's going to sound like that?
I know. So she said, and it's something, she said, "I don't know what it is or whether it's just because it smells a bit like sperm," she said.
Oh.
"There's some enzyme in it." So Sandy refers to it as the penis facial. Now, People Magazine jumped on the case and they asked Louise what the deal was. She said, "It started last year when Sandra Bullock was filming in New York and came to see me for a deep cleansing and long-lasting facial glow. She said, I wanted to give her something that would transform her skin without the need to undergo lasers. So I loaded up her bespoke facial with something that would give her long-lasting results. Within weeks, her makeup artist, Whitney, and castmates wanted to know the cause of her amazing glowing skin. And from that moment onwards, a Hollywood epidermal growth factor facial was born. Now, it involves a chemical peel, microneedling, a mask, of course.
And the New York Knicks.
The EGF serum, which is that epidermal growth factor. And the EGF is reportedly...
Oh, no.
...derived from... the progenitor cells of the human fibroblast
taken
from Korean newborn baby foreskin.
Oh, my God.
Penis.
What?
Facial.
This is according to the Facebook website.
But honestly, you have to think about what doctor's sitting around thinking, baby foreskin. And that's the secret.
And it is expensive at roughly $650 a pop. Now, if you're concerned about the babies, no worries. According to the website, it says the foreskin is collected during circumcision, and the stem cells are then harvested and extracted through a centrifuge.
And then they euthanize the babies.
No, they don't.
Oh,
do
they
that.
Don't. Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
Listen, Kathy, make an appointment now.
Right. But you know what, though? They can do anything like that. Like, you know, she's going to go and get that facial, and now it's gonna be some big thing
sure.
in New York.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what? Honestly, in the realm of this sort of treatment, Peter North could be a doctor par excellence, right? I have appointments all day.
Oh, my God.
They're lining up outside.
Listen, this is a legit story. It's nothing salacious, and I was blown away by that.
Well, maybe we need to get that treatment in the studio.
But Kate Blanchett looks fantastic.
We could all get facials, Preston.
Yeah, we could. Hey, Queen Elizabeth II delivered her formal permission for Prince Harry and Meghan Markle to get married on May 19th, but observers are detecting a note of shade in the blessing. The approval was delivered during a March 14th Privy Council meeting at Buckingham Palace.
A Privy Council meeting?
Isn't it Privy? It's the bathroom.
Yeah. was the Queen sitting on the bowl?
Oh, my God.
Okay, do it. I'm taking a dump.
Maybe they were all inside the bathroom with her, like LBJ used to do. He would meet with his staffers while he was taking a crap.
Yeah.
So anyhow, it was a privy meeting.
She could get married.
Yeah. So she, in her decree, she used both Meghan and Harry's full name. It said, "My lords, I declare my consent to a contract of matrimony between my most dearly beloved grandson, Prince Henry Charles Albert David of Wales and Rachel Meghan, which consent I am causing to be signified under the Great Seal and to be entered into the books of the Privy Council."
So where's the shade element here?
Observers are pointing out that when she gave Prince William and Kate Middleton the go-ahead, she referred to them, "our most dearly beloved grandson, Prince William Arthur Philip Lewis of Wales, KG, and our trusty and well-beloved Catherine Elizabeth Middleton."
Huh.
The love for Meghan was clearly left out. So she didn't say love when she referred to him.
Oh, I don't think that's a big deal.
But listen, they slice and dice that stuff when it comes to royal decrees.
Yes,
and all
they
that.
Do. I didn't know. I was unfamiliar with this privy ceremony here. I thought it was pretty much a done deal.
Some are saying that she will likely receive the same high praise when the formal document is written up.
The Queen seems to like her, though.
Yeah, she does.
Who wouldn't like her?
All right, I have another a beauty tip, if you will. This is from
Does this involve diarrhea?
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Now that we've gotten sperm about facials.
Okay, you already talked about
that.
Penis facial. So anyhow, Angelina Jolie recently sat down with In Style to toast the launch of Mon Guerlain Eau de Parfum Fleurelle.
Holy Jesus.
She is the face of the brand, and she discussed some of her grooming tips and how they've changed. When she was a teenager, she says she was a bit of a punk. And now,
yes, yeah, I know. She was ugly. She was a tomboy.
Nowadays, it's very popular to dye your hair blue, for example. No, she means like a punk rocker.
Oh.
In my day, you bleached it and you used a Sharpie for color.
You know, she actually, that movie where they were computer hackers, inventing it was called Hack or something.
Hackers.
She had a super close-cropped punk hairdo. Yeah, I remember. She looked good.
She also opened up about how she is approaching raising her 6 children to see beauty in the age of social media. She said, "Put what's inside you forward and find you."
Yeah, whatever the hell that means.
Figure out who you are. Beauty. Everybody has a different opinion about what it is. Intellect is the most beautiful. When you see somebody who has a mind on fire, that's sexy.
Shut the f*** up!
A person who is empathetic and thoughtful and passionate, there's nothing more attractive than that. There's nothing you could wear or put on your face to cover up if your mind is blank and your heart is dark.
Think a little baby sperm might help.
I don't know. Right? No, it's foreskin.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misread the directions.
Yeah, you're 60.
Yeah, I know.
Who would use?
What am I, Burt Reynolds dating a 7-year-old Sally Field?
After 9 years together, CNN host Anderson Cooper and NYC nightclub guru Benjamin Mazzani are over.
What?
The pair dated for 9 years And Cooper tells the Daily Mail that they are still very much in each other's lives, despite breaking off their romance. Photos of Cooper, a 33-year-old Dallas doctor named Victor Lopez, have recently promoted the official statement.
They're very busy, and they live in close quarters, and they're tired of being up each other's butts.
Oh.
Whatever. But, you know, they bought an incredible house, which is an old firehouse they converted.
Oh, that's right.
And
yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
But I guess they're keeping that?
I don't know. Speaking of homes, Sharon Stone lives in a stunning French chateau-style home in L.A. full of glam finishes. Mm. And for the first time, fans are getting a glimpse of her luxe digs via Architectural Digest. She tells AD that she bought the home 25 years ago. Huh. And it was after her career-making role in Basic Instinct. She says her approach to the gut reno was hands-on. I worked with a chateau restorer to give the place texture.
Chateau restorer.
Oh, come on.
That's a job.
And a sense of history, she told the magazine.
Yeah, we'll put some drywall over here.
We
spackle over here. It's going to look great.
We installed an antique tile floor from Agra in the powder room. Ooh, off the foyer.
That's where the Taj Mahal is, Preston.
Is that where that is?
Yeah.
Okay, and brought in the dining room floor from a chateau in Switzerland.
Mm.
I also put in the moldings, mantles, and other architectural details.
We got most of our stuff from Home Depot.
That are so essential to the integrity of the space.
Hey, they got nice stuff there,
they
Steve.
Do.
They
I'm
do.
Totally fine
yeah,
with it.
Floor and Decor's got some really nice stuff. Hey, man, not from Agro, but...
donation.
We had our whole bar done at Lowe's, and yeah. I kid you not, it's awesome.
And you can do it. They can help.
Let's see. How about this? Danielle Bregoli.
Yes, the
Cash Me Outside girl. Yeah, she's officially off her five-year probation, according to reports.
I think she just won an award, and I'm probably misstating this. She was named the least talented human ever to walk the face of the earth.
Wow, did she show up for the award ceremony?
She did show up.
Oh, good.
And they gave her the award, but they determined that she is literally the least talented individual that has ever drawn a breath.
Well, she pleaded guilty to grand theft and filing a false police report in August. And the 14-year-old who rose to notoriety as a guest on Dr. Phil enlisted Tiger Woods' former attorney to help, managed to stay out of trouble and complete 100 hours of community service, which reportedly prompted the decision to end her probation early.
By the way, she's wealthy. She has her own legal team. She has a hip-hop career.
I don't know what Cash Me Outside is. Maybe I missed the boat
She was on Dr. Phil. She was a troubled teen. They sent her away to one of these horse therapy ranches.
Mm-hmm.
She came back, decided she didn't want any of it, and then caught on fire. It was an internet viral sensation,
and
off and running.
Casey, I didn't get it either because I purposely avoided it.
Okay.
Once I saw that this, I saw this was starting to take hold, and I'm like, I don't even want to know what this is about.
No,
this
nor do you.
Looks like a complete time suck, and I'm not interested in this at all.
We really want to talk about the tile in Sharon Stone's bathroom. That substance.
right. Should I do clips or skip the clips? What do you think?
Here. Let me look at these.
We have a guest standing by.
Yeah. You know what? No, we can skip these.
We're gonna skip the clips.
Yes.
If you're just tuning in, we are here. Yeah, we made it to Clearwater. We are broadcasting live. We are at Spectrum Field, and we're out here in left field, right next to Frenchie's Tiki Bar, of which we're going to be meeting with listeners later on who have made it down here or who live down here, which is pretty cool. And I've got a lot of emails. I don't know about you guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
A lot of
yes.
people that want to come out here and meet. Yeah. So we're going to do that after the doors open around 10:30. And throughout the course of the morning, we're having some guests stop by. Ladies and gentlemen, we are graced with the presence of Charlie Manuel here.
Yeah.
Hey. Good morning, sir. Good to see you.
Good morning. What's happening?
Not too much, man. Do you live in Florida? Is it always this freaking cold in the morning here?
Not really. I live in Winter Haven. I live about an hour and 20 minutes from here.
I got to tell you, Charlie, the guy who's here, his name is Chris, I believe, and he's been helping us out this morning. He said, this is one of the colder mornings they've experienced in quite a while. And I'm like, well, lucky us.
Yeah.
You know, guys, I was here in fantasy camp when it was 19 one morning, so I'm going to have to argue with you.
Yeah, you probably argue.
You know, the fantasy campers, they were out here playing, and it was 30 degrees.
Yeah.
Fantasy camp seems like a really, really cool idea. Is it mostly made up, I obviously, older gentlemen that had played baseball, but perhaps not up to a certain level. Let's say they stopped before college, or you know, or maybe even played some college ball. Is that kind of how it works out?
Most of them are. The biggest part of them, they play like in school or maybe even some pro ball.
Okay, so they have some ball in their in their past. Okay,
they still got that. But also, you have guys whose dream is always to put on a big league uniform.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, like it hadn't played any.
And they pay actually, to come and get those dreams crushed.
Yeah, I mean, they pay money to come and get to talk to somebody like myself or something like that. And, of course, you know, like they enjoy it. It's good. This is the first time this season, this spring, that I was that I did it in quite a while.
Oh, really?
I had a little taste of that when I was down in the batting cages. By the way, anybody listening right now doesn't know, I just was in the batting cages taking some BP. Larry Boa and Charlie Emanuel walked by, watched me for a little bit. Charlie went to the bathroom real quick, came back and sat and watched me for a good 5 minutes,
right,
just taking swings.
Give us your opinion then.
Honest opinion.
I can tell he's played before.
Okay.
You tell he's had a few donuts.
Swing, you know, like he's got some bat speed and he's got a good swing. He's got a he gets a ball. He's got a quick bat, and then he hits the ball out front sometimes.
Well,
I mean, but that's basically he's got a blister too, because I saw him when he held a bat.
Okay, so you can pick all that, Charlie. We were actually you were at a charity golf function that both Casey and Preston were playing in, and I was there as well. And we were hanging out for a little bit in the afternoon. And one thing immediately I got is that cultivating young talent, helping them get to their potential, is something that is just your absolute love that of the game. Is that the biggest part of your enjoyment, cultivating young talent?
Yeah, I think so. You know, like I managed 10 years in the minor leagues, and I've been in the game all my life, really.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I became a manager because I still wanted to take batting practice, and I wanted to teach.
Right, yeah.
And being a manager, of course, you know, like I was a boss. I could do anything I wanted to. And in the minor leagues, I used to hit about every day.
Right, right.
And also, when I became a hitting coach in Cleveland, I always hit in a group. And so, yeah, hitting is offense to me is I really don't have time to explain it to you today because it'd take me a long time. But yep. I believe in offense because I believe that you got to have pitching, you got to have defense, and they all got to be good. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, offense makes you happier. Offense makes you run better.
Yeah, I'll take a grand slam over a triple play any day. You know, like I agree
Charlie's
with you.
Nodding, yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Do you still? I mean, will you still take batting practice to this day?
Well, no, I haven't. I haven't hit for like the last 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
I had a hernia operation this year. Actually, was from an. I'd had it for like 17 years, and they told me not to mess with it, and then it started getting bigger, and I about 6 weeks ago I had to have an operation, and I haven't picked up a bat. But
how long is the recuperation on that?
I could still hit.
Yeah.
Did you have it bubble out? Could you see it? My dad had one. Yeah, it was pretty wild looking.
Actually, you know, like the guy told me, he said, yeah, I can do that. And he said, be about a 2.5 incision and 2.5 inches. And he said, you'll go home about 2 hours after you wake up. And I woke up and I was bleeding, and I didn't go home for a while.
So you had it starts to puff up, and I know that at a certain point you can push on it and play yourself like a bagpipe.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So being around the cages and watching the players, do you have any players that you think are going to stand out this year?
Yeah, we've got we got a lot of young hitters who have a chance. That, like some of them will surprise you. Really come into their own and establish themselves as big league players. Well, we got guys like Hoskins who came up last year, of course, and then we got guys like J.P. Crawford. He's been a big prospect for us for like the last 4 or 5 years. We got Williams, Nick Williams. We got a lot of these guys were up there last year. We got a kid named Kendry. Who played AA and AAA last year.
He's People are talking about him, yeah.
He's got a chance to be a real good player. The only thing he does is smile and plays baseball. He don't talk much.
Just smiles.
Really?
He's a very simple person.
I love how you still say we and us, Charlie. Yeah. Like, you know, you were the manager of the team, obviously, in 2008. Yeah. The first time I ever came to spring training was in 2008.
Right.
Can you believe that season, that magical season, is already a decade old?
That's 10 years ago. That, yeah. That seems like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
Really.
I mean, you know, we're coming off a Super Bowl win, and what that did for Philadelphia was remarkable. But what you and the 2008 Phillies did for me, for countless others, for my father, for my brothers, it just was it's a memory that I'll treasure for the rest of my life. So, you know, on behalf of my family, thank you, you know.
Yeah.
It means a lot.
You know, what you're saying is everywhere I go, and this is not only Philadelphia, but I can go to Vegas, I can go anywhere, and I'll be on a plane and people recognize me because I managed the Phillies.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That is so cool.
And then because we won the World Series, you know, like they see me and they act like they know me. They just walk right up and they start talking to me. And actually, sometimes I don't know how to handle it. Because I would look at myself and say, who would want to just come up and have a conversation with me?
Yeah.
You make it easy. You're very approachable. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw there was Phils were playing the Nationals. It was either last year or the year before. Jason Worth was just kind of like signing some autographs, and I yelled at the top of my lungs, hey, thank you for 2008. He heard it. He turned to me and he tipped his cap. I was like, you know, and so like anybody that was on that squad, you know, they have a spot in my heart. I do have a question about that team, and because I know you love the sport of baseball and I know you love hitters, and everybody has a unique swing. But Chase Utley, his swing was so unique, and it looked like a check swing, and he would hit the ball out of the park.
Yeah, sometimes he'd take like what I call Chase Utley has a very simple approach.
Yeah.
He has a very good way of hitting. You know, like you can when he gets out of whack or he's striding too long or something like that, he's easy to fix because of his his position in the batter's box and where he holds his bat, things like that. Yeah, he used to take a swing on kind of hit the ball real quick and not follow through.
Yeah, and the ball would just sail out of the park. And you're like, I don't know how I don't know how he does that.
Yeah, actually, that's being strong to the baseball. It's like on the backside and you balance. And, you know, like, and once you hit it, once you create bat speed to the ball, I mean, that's one of the biggest things in hitting him. That's what, with the power that the speed of the pitcher's throwing and also your swing, that determines how far the ball
goes. It's fun to watch.
I wanted to ask you, because you mentioned about getting out of whack, and when you have a player who you know has potential and they're moving along, and, you know, you're investing time and, you know, do you just have to rely on your instinct and your intuition if they're just not performing and there's a decent amount of time where they're not really hitting their stride? Does faith play a lot in this as well?
I think so. Basically when somebody's struggling, usually like this is old school.
Yeah.
And
because there seems to be no science of it other than a gut feeling.
Yeah, but at the same time too, they hit more. For me, my players hit more,
okay,
and they take more swings, and we put more time into them hitting more. Like for instance, say Pat Burrell's struggling, and we take him out, we take him out, and he's hitting on the field by himself, and I'll bring out a pitcher, like say Rich Doobie's a pitching coach, but he used to be a pitcher, and he'll throw him breaking balls and stuff like that, and we won't tell him what's coming. And things like that, and we just want him, you know, to start hitting the ball and putting it in play, and you kind of work into it.
Yeah.
And we do that. Maybe sometimes we do it for like 3 or 4 days. If I might rest him that much, I'll tell you something. In 2008, Roger Clemens was pitching for Houston. Burrell was 0-for-19, and he had 17 strikeouts.
Oof.
And I put him in the lineup. That
wow.
Day. And Doobie told me, Rich Doobie tells me, he goes, you have a brain cramp or something. He says Burrell's got 17 punch outs and 19 at bats. And I looked at him, he'd been hitting good.
Yeah.
And I looked at Doobie and I said he's due.
Yeah.
And he goes, due? He doesn't have a chance. And first inning Burrell had a 10 pitch at bat, hit a 3-run homer. And came up the next time with two guys on and hit a double, knocked in two more runs.
Wow.
And knocked Clemens out of the game.
And nice. And that's because you had just the intuition, correct?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And also, too, that's just how baseball is. It's hard to explain sometimes to people. It's also hard for a hitter to tell you what he's thinking and how he feels.
It seems elusive. That's why so much of this sport seems to operate on, I just have a feeling.
Right.
And from your perspective, dealing with all these guys, knowing when to go with that feeling.
It's kind of, that has a lot to do with it. When you sit down and pick your lineup, people, if you hear in general, people will say, tell you our lineup, for 208. But if you look, I did move. We had more. We didn't have the exact lineup every day. I moved Worth and Burrell in the five and six hole. I used to move Worth sometime up in the second hole. I hit Victorino two and six and things like that. And we had a lot of different lineups. We matched up to the pitcher that was pitching.
Of your Phillies teams, which pitcher made it hardest for you to take out of the game?
You know, when you stand in there and you got when you got Holiday and Hamels and Lee pitching, and you actually you're not at the back of your bullpen where Lidge was their guy. Hey, it's hard to take a guy out of the game.
Yeah.
Hey, look, we want to win the game.
Yeah.
The number one priority in baseball is win the game today.
Right.
Not tomorrow, not yesterday. Or
yeah. Right now.
Today, right now. Right now is what counts.
Yep.
And that's how you look at it.
You've had a lot of and managed a lot of great players, a lot of great hitters, even in Philadelphia with Ryan Howard and Jimmy Rollins and Chase Utley and ones we've mentioned before. But I want to ask you about your relationship, your special relationship with Jim Thome and him making it to the Baseball Hall of Fame. And you were one of the first people to be able to congratulate him, which I thought was phenomenal. Can you talk a little bit about Jim Thome and your time with him in Cleveland and in Philadelphia?
Yeah, I first met Thome when he was, I think he was 18. He had played in rookie ball, and I met him in spring training in Tucson. And Buddy Bell and I was sitting on a bench right on the field, down the third base line. And Thome had a closed stance, had a real closed stance, stood off a plate, and got jammed and hit a ground ball over third base bag and got a double. Now, when he got a double, you know the inning was over, and he come down and we were sitting like. Buddy's sitting right beside him, and he pushed us out of the way, sat down in between us. And if you could have seen him, he looked like he was about 12 years old. I remember it just like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
And I tell the story about him because there was a guy named Mike Davis. He was a big first baseman who swung like he had a good swing, but he swung real hard. And I would take those guys down in the cage after practice every day. I would take them down in the cage for extra work. And you know, I didn't know too much about Thome, but I was working with Davis, and we did this about a week, and all of a sudden, I looked up, and Tommy's down there, and he's just kind of parallel at the plate, and he starts hanging, and he's hitting line drives hard.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, I've been working with the wrong guy. That's a true story.
And look over here.
And then coming out of the spring training, he did not make the team.
Yeah.
He didn't make a minor league team, and we sent him to extend his spring. And he went to extend his spring over in St. Pete, and he hit like 10 or 12 home runs real quick. And they moved him to Kinston, the A-ball, and then they moved him to Double-A. And he hit he led the league in hitting in Double-A. Hit like 330 or 340. Wow. Hit seven home runs, about 45 RBIs, but hit everything to left field.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, I had him in the instructional league. I had him for about 13 years, maybe longer than that. I had him basically almost his whole career, and he was always at the ballpark with me. I used to eat dinner with him sometime, and he's like my son. I mean,
yeah,
everything about baseball. Jimmy lacked confidence, and sometimes I think about all the hitting that he did, and things like that, and how prepared he was, and how he loved it. But at the same time, you know, like I always felt like that I was definitely part of his confidence.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Hell of a player. Hey, I do have one bit of advice I want to grab from you because a little over a week ago you threw out the first pitch here at the game. I'm doing that today, Charlie. Never done it before. What kind of advice do you want to give to me as I step up to the mound?
I would suggest you get down there about 15 minutes early.
Yep.
And get somebody and play some catch with them.
All right, done deal.
Yeah, he was
definitely going to do that.
What we do here is that if you're going to do it right, you don't act as if you're pitching. You act as if you're playing catch.
Right.
Would you think that's a better way? Yeah, okay, all right.
Did you throw a good one in when you did it?
No, I didn't. I bounced it and Doobie missed it. And then he threw the ball back and I threw another one. Okay.
All right, there you go. Fair enough. All right, well, we're excited to be here. This is our first time broadcasting from spring training, and we appreciate you coming by for a few minutes. You're a class act, and the whole city loves you, and we just love spending time with you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. I want to thank you guys. It's been good.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Thank you. All right, Charlie Manuel, guys.
So many great stories,
it's
man.
It's amazing. This is a lot of fun, and we have more guests that are coming by today. So we're really stoked to be here. And the sun's starting to come
yes.
up. It'll be warming up within Please. The next hour or so.
Within an hour, it'll be 41 degrees.
Oh, yay. Now, it's going to be like 75 days. It's going to be a beautiful day. So listen, we're going to take a quick break. We are going to come back in just a moment. More from Clearwater, Florida. We're broadcasting Spring Training with Phils on 93.3 WMMR.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Seether. Dreamers. YouTube.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
It's pretty awesome feeling being here in the stadium.
Knowing you're going to throw out the first pitch.
Well, that's cool, too. I mean, obviously, I'm excited about it, but I love the layout of the stadium. Now, I've seen it on television many yes. times, but never been here in person. And those of you who have, you know what the story is, but one of the things that's coolest is out here in the outfield, instead of seats, it's just a slope of grass. Two sides, there's a big barrier in center field, but... that has got to be a really cool spot to come and sit and watch a
yeah.
game.
Bring a blanket.
Yeah.
Grab a pop. Sit on yeah. the field.
Is that equivalent of standing room for this yes. Place? So you get standing room tickets yeah. and you get to sit out here in the field. Yeah. When I would go to ball games back at the Cardinals in St. Louis, they had the bleachers and you'd pay and you'd sit wherever you want to. It was the furthest away from the action, but it was it was one of the best places in the ballpark to be.
A great thing, Preston, when you get clocks with a home run, you're already laying down on the grass.
Yeah. So no further lawsuit.
To fall, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you can buy a seat ticket when you get here, or you can just buy standing room. You come sit. You know, be out the tiki bar at Frenchie's. You can hang on the blanket. And Steve, in the right field seat. Steve, when we parked, we're right out here on the other side of this fence.
Yes.
The security guard said, "Is that your car or is it a rental?" And I said, "Well, it's a rental." And he said, "Okay, you sure you want to park here?" I said, "Yeah, why?" He said, "Well, you could get hit by a home run
yeah.
ball."
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And so the balls where we are, they go right over this fence and can land in the parking lot.
Well, you know what's very cool is it has to your point, Preston, has a very casual, relaxed feel, which is cool. So I think it kind of encourages you walking around and checking everything out.
Yeah, and the difference, of course, from like Citizens Bank Park is it's not multi-tiered. There aren't upper levels. It's flat and it's low, and there's a good view from everywhere. And I took a nice walk around the concourse here, and it's the architecture has kind of a Spanish type of feel, which you see a lot in Florida.
It's very similar to Sharon Stone's bathroom.
It's a lot
the
like
architecture
in the chateau.
In the chateau, a lot of that stuff brought in from India. No, it looks very cool.
Yeah, Case, how was batting practice, man?
It was great. I'll tell you, you go down there. I used Cesar Hernandez's bat.
Wow. Oh, really?
Beautiful bat.
Wow.
Yeah. Brazier wouldn't let me keep it. Brazier wouldn't let me keep it.
He's smiling at you.
But my hands were shattering in the beginning.
It's a little chilly, right?
It's a little chilly. No batting gloves,
and it conducts right through.
I'm tough.
I mean, you've been playing for 20 years.
You know what, man? I would consider it. I've been playing my whole life. I've been playing since I was 5 years old. I've taken a couple years off and pivoted to softball, but I've been swinging a bat for a long time.
Well, sorry to jump in, but remember we had Ricky Pitalico pitch to you.
You're right.
That morning, and you were able to hit off of him.
I mean,
and that was the thing. We were going to find out, could you even get wood on the ball?
Yes.
And you were you held your own.
But he had
of course
walking out to do that.
Yes, because it was very exciting, Steve. But I did. I believe against him, I hit one right up the middle on him.
Yeah, you did.
Remember, he bitched, though. He made an excuse because he had been warming up for like 45 minutes before you got down.
Like, I warmed up, you know, and then I wasn't pitching from a mound. And I'm like, okay.
Did he throw you a breaking ball?
At one point, he did. I was like, oh, God. I'm going to die.
The funny thing is when you think, okay, I think I got this
right
now, and then you see the pros do what they do.
Unbelievable.
It's scary.
Yeah.
Speaking of pros, you mind if I go right
Please,
ahead?
No,
go right
you
ahead.
Do this.
We have a guest sitting right here in front of us, and we're excited. Yet another legend in the names of the hallowed halls of the Phillies, and he is now the senior advisor to the general manager of the Phils. Please welcome the one and only Larry Boa is here this morning.
Hey.
Good morning, Larry.
Nice to be here. Nice. I saw your swing. I like it.
Really?
It's okay.
Yeah,
dude.
Pulled off a couple times.
Well, so that was my problem always growing up was I for some reason, I would step out.
Right.
As a result, I could never hit the ball to the right of
side.
Second base.
Right.
Never, ever.
You
yeah.
know, though, and Larry, with anything like this, Preston, I hear, Preston will just ruminate and kill himself over his golf swing. And this, and if you this, and it's an inch here and that. It's sort of the same thing with batting. It's these little things that you can just kill yourself overthinking them.
It's just a matter of inches, as they say.
Yeah.
Squaring a ball up or getting jammed or hitting it on the end. And
if you have,
hitting's hard.
Yeah,
hitting a baseball is hard.
It is.
Right, let me ask you, because my son is playing baseball, and he's good, right? He's undersized, and there's an intimidation factor when it comes to baseball. Yeah, I think at any level, you know, even the pros, when you have a guy grooving the ball in 90-plus miles per hour, it's intimidating no matter who's at the plate. But, you know, especially at that young age, he's stepping up a level this year, right? So now he's playing against, you know, harder competition. And it's kind of getting in his head a little bit. He made the team, which is a good thing. But he was thinking about stepping out and not playing. And I didn't know if I was doing the right thing as a father. You know, what's the right thing to do?
The right thing is let him play with guys that are better than them.
Right. You're going to have a down year, son.
There's no question. Mm-hmm. There's no question. But the experience he's going to gain. And as you said, if he's a small kid, I was a small kid. Mm-hmm. I didn't play high school. I got cut every year.
Really?
I didn't play high school baseball. So baseball is a sport where you don't have to be 6'5". You know, if you're a little guy, you can excel. We got a guy here in camp that's not very big in Kingery.
Yeah. What's his size?
He's about 5'10", 5'11", maybe.
How tall are you, Case?
About 5'8", 7'7", 5'7".
Well, but that is true, though, to the size. And I mean, this is a case where if you know the mechanics, you know, you can succeed. So
there's always room on a baseball field. There's home run hitters. There's guys that set the table to get on base. There's good defensive players. There's pitchers. I mean, there's so many different roles you can play. And, again, you don't have to be a big monster to play this game.
Do you know what's fascinating from my perspective and from someone who's, you know, having been out on a field and for whatever we were doing and turning around and looking at the you know, full stadium or even a reduced stadium like this, the thing that always fascinates me is the level of focus players need to have. Because I mean, I'm so distracted by so much that's going on. And, you know, I guess that's just through attrition. But for me, it seems to be such a difficult thing. Even like a fly ball coming out to an outfielder. How do you lock and load on something?
Well, you're taking a lot of things for granted because they're in the big leagues.
Yeah, so I know.
As soon as
yeah.
the ball's in the air, you say that's one out. Or a ground ball, that's an out. But it's a lot more difficult than it looks.
It looks incredible.
But, you know, you do so many repetitions over and over and over and over.
Stupid. That's the problem.
I'll tell you right now, this part of spring training for guys is probably getting a little boring. They've been down here.
Is it?
And let's face it, the hitters, for the most part, they're ready to go.
Yeah.
Spring training should be called pitcher's training.
Right. Okay.
That's what it's all about.
How essential is spring training for just the team morale, for the cohesiveness? For that element.
Well, in this particular instance, this year, it's very important because it's a young team, new manager, new staff. So I think it's very important. But now the regulars, when I say regulars, the everyday players, I think they're ready to go and open up in Atlanta. But the pitchers aren't quite there yet. So these last 10 days, I should say the last week, the last three, you're ready to go. But the last 10 days here, it's a little boring.
Yeah.
The weather's great, but it's a little boring.
Yeah. Larry, I want to ask you about your role with the team now, because you've been a manager. You know, you're an intense manager. You're an intense player. And now you have a role that's allows you to be a little bit more relaxed. And I'm not saying that you wouldn't take it seriously, because, of course, you do. But there's less pressure on you.
Right.
You're not the one that has to deliver the wins in and out every night or, you know, make the pitching change in the eighth inning that may be questioned by the press the next day. Do you like that?
Yeah, you know what? I was thinking about that the other day. I love winning, no question about it, but the fact that you're doing another job now, like I'm going to go down and look at some of the minor league kids. Once the season starts, I'm going to go look at some draft picks that we might make. Plus, I'm going to be at the ballpark watching our team. But I don't go home at night saying, I mean, I want the Phillies to win every game, but I don't go home and beat myself up because I'm not doing that on the field anymore. But it wears on you. When you put the uniform on, whether you're a coach, a player, a manager, when you get beat up,
That wears on you.
Yeah,
but you don't sleep, you don't eat, you're miserable.
At the end of this season, Gabe Kapler may end up looking like Charlie Manuel.
I hope he has a ring like Charlie.
Yeah, there you go.
That's now, you, obviously, I think it goes without saying you love the sport, right? This sport does not have the pace for some people, right? Some people need it to be quicker and faster, but this has been your life.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So what is it about baseball that you love?
I just thought, like, there's a strategy involved. There's a flow of the game that's involved. There's the you get beat up one day on a Monday, and the next day out you go and beat up somebody else. The competition day in and day out.
Yeah.
I like the fact that somebody's going to win or somebody's going to lose every single day for 162 games. That's a long stretch, and you better have some mental toughness to overcome all that stuff.
I also find it to be fascinating that a player needs to, like, hitting and fielding are two totally different things, and it's a completely different skill set. You know what I mean?
You're right.
And
yeah, it's a weird aspect of the sport.
Yeah.
Other players are it's
you could have a guy who you know can shag every single fly ball that's ever hit to him ever,
and then can't hit.
Then he can't hit.
That's what's amazing about this sport is, and I try to tell these, especially our infielders, you can't take it out on the field. You pop up with the bases loaded, you better get out there and think about defense.
Mm-hmm.
And that separates a lot of good infielders from so-so infielders. Be able to separate offense from defense. You'll see a lot of young kids that aren't hitting. They'll go out there and they'll boot routine ground balls because they're thinking about their last at bat, or they're 0 for 18. They're saying, man, I need a hit here. But you can win games without your bat sometimes. You go out there and make a couple plays, turn a double play, throw a guy out at home plate on a cutoff and a relay. There's a lot of ways you can win games. It doesn't have to be just swinging the bat.
Yeah, can you enjoy watching a high school game the same way you can watching a pro game?
Yeah, I do. The only thing I think I would have trouble with is projecting what a high school kid's going to do.
Okay.
And I told Charlie, you know, Charlie Manuel and I were talking a little bit about he's going out and looking at high school kids. I said, I don't know how you do that, to project what a guy's going to do. Because obviously he's playing with kids he's much better than right now.
Right.
You don't know how much bigger he's going to get. You don't know if he's if he's hit his peak at 16, 17 years old. And he did say that's a very difficult thing, is to try to project what a high projected draft picked in high school, how he's going to turn out.
Yeah, not everybody's Bryce Harper. Not everybody's hitting 500 or 400 foot bombs. Yeah.
Who's the most impressive person you ever went out to see, like a potential, and you just said, dear God, this guy's got it all?
That's a good question.
Because I don't, at that point, when you're catching them in their early stages.
I think when I first came up, Bryce Harp, watching him, I'd never seen him play high school. And obviously, when he came to the big leagues, he was very impressive.
Blew you away.
For a young kid
to
have that much poise and obviously that much power, he was very impressive.
Huh.
You and Gabe Kapler have a lot in common. You both have managed the Phils, and you were both also on the field for the last out of a World Series win. He was in 2004 with the Red Sox. You, of course, in 1980 with the Phils. Do you ever relive that moment in your mind?
All the time, especially like when you're in Philly and it's snowing. So you bring out the tape and you look at it. That's something you never forget, going down Broad Street. That was the first one ever for the Phillies, and you know, the years before, we were real close. We kept getting the playoffs. Either Cincinnati or the Dodgers would beat us. And then finally in 80, we beat Houston and then went on to beat Kansas City. But that's something that stays with you forever. And there's a bond there with the players. You know, you see guys at old-timers games and things of that nature. But when you win a ring together, that's forever. And,
yeah.
When you see guys, it's special.
You know what? I'm curious, and I know obviously it's a job, and everybody who is involved in baseball on a professional level takes it very, very seriously. But does it ever dawn on you that what you guys do is also what other people do for fun? You know what I mean? That you've made a living and you take it very, very seriously. But still, it's a game, and this is what some people do for enjoyment.
It is a game. I mean, and you want the guys to have fun.
Yeah.
But it's not fun when you get out there and you lose 8 or 9 games in a row.
Oh, yeah.
And you're under a microscope every day.
It's, oh,
you
know, yeah.
When you go out and play on Saturday and Sunday, and then you go to work on Monday, you say, yeah, we lost 2 games this week. But
that's the downside. You get to play and have the fun because you also suffer the downside.
Yep. And when you play at this level in Philadelphia, the whole idea is to move that column on the left every day.
Yeah.
You want to move that win column. And I was very fortunate in 80. Every single team got to the finals there. We won the World Series. The Eagles were in it. Flyers were in it. The Sixers were in it.
Wow.
And it seems like that trend is starting to head that way once again. Obviously, the Eagles winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Flyers are playing good. Sixers are playing good. And hopefully the Phillies will play good.
Do other teams in your city that win give you a mental boost?
No question.
Okay.
No question about it.
Is it a little bit of jealousy, maybe?
It might be a little jealousy, okay. But I don't think the guys want to hear in July, E-A-G-L-Y.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when you start hearing that, we're getting beat by a lot of runs.
Yeah. Well, yeah. To that point, I think we were just talking about this. You're seeing such such a fraternal aspect to Sixers going to see, you know, the
Flyers and
every,
so forth,
back
yeah.
Flyers and back and forth. It's something we haven't seen for a while in the city, and it just, as from a spectator's point of view, it just makes us smile. It makes us feel good. It makes us feel as if everyone's invested in everyone else's success.
I agree, and you know, these fans, they're avid fans in Philadelphia. I mean, they're the best fans ever. I've been coaching, and I've coached in New York, I coached in L.A., in Seattle, and those are good franchises, but the fans in Philadelphia are special because they make you prepare.
Yeah.
You know, they want to see effort. If you don't want to give them effort, they're going to let you know, and that's how it should be. And I try to tell these young kids, you better be mentally tough to play in this city because things aren't going to go right the whole time.
Yeah.
You're going to get booed every now and then, and you got to be able to deal with it. And there's usually a reason for the boos. They don't just come out and just boo. Whether you dogged it on a play or you're not swinging the bat good or you're not making a play. But they will make you concentrate a little bit harder. And once that stadium gets filled up there, it's pretty electric.
Is it fair? Is it fair? Do you think it's fair? The fans are fair?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I really do. I think, you know, you got to be accountable. And if you're not accountable, hey, you got to suffer the consequences. Should they boo every single at bat? Probably not. But, you know, I think they give you the benefit of the doubt. They want to see good baseball.
Sure.
And they're entitled to that.
You've been in the game for a long time, and I want to ask you about the changes over the last decade or so with social media being a part of the game as well, and people putting players under a microscope and also having access to them. Do you think that's good for the game?
I think that's good for the fans. I don't know if it's good for the game.
What's your favorite Snapchat filter?
Let me tell you something. If they had the phones and the cameras when I played, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Think about it. You know, I mean, we used to go after a game. Wherever hotel we stayed in, we go into a bar and have a beer.
Sure.
Now you got to be careful. You know who you're sitting next to. Yeah. You know, somebody comes up and takes a picture, and
everybody has a TV studio in their pocket.
It's unbelievable, and you know, everyone says, why don't the players? They go to their rooms and play video games. Well, you know why? Because they're under the microscope, and it's got to be tough for these guys because you got to get away sometimes and go out and have fun, and then you go into a place and some guy's shooting your picture over there, and you might be
you'd
be very innocent what you're doing.
You gotta be
and before
dated.
You know it, it's all over the country. So
I think Coach Kapler probably has a. There's a new thing you have to address with players is how you respond to social media and how it's the same reason, you know, you don't read the comments on a particular page. But that's something that can cause wreak mental havoc with a player if they're starting to respond to what they're seeing on social media.
I would be bad at that because my temper would get me. I would have tweeted something and hit the send button real quick. So I don't think that would work.
You'd be the last person to talk to.
They would have probably loved it, but I would have probably gotten a lot of trouble with that. I would have gotten a lot of trouble.
That's funny.
Well, we're going to have to wrap it up in just a second, Larry, but just how do you feel so far in what you've seen?
I like what I've seen. I said this earlier before we got Arrieta. I think this team should play at least 500 baseball, at least.
Wow.
And now the fact we got Arrieta, I'd even set the bar a little bit higher. I just think we're going to score runs. I like Nola. He's really come into his own. And getting a guy like Arrieta, the way he, you know, he's pitched in a World Series, he's a very competitive guy. He's one of those pitchers that when he goes out there, he doesn't need his best stuff to keep you in a game, which is a good sign of a good pitcher. Mm. So if he doesn't have good stuff, you still have a good chance to win. Pivetta and Velasquez, Reese Hoskins, you're going to see Kingery before long. I think there's all the signs are pointing upward, and I would be very disappointed if we're not at least 500. Plus our division, Washington, I'll give them credit. They have the best team right now. The rest of those teams in our division, you can throw a blanket over them, and I think I think our team is ready to make a move right now.
All right.
So you're saying the city might want to consider a second parade?
That would be nice.
Yeah.
I'd like to see them get to the playoffs, you know. And if you play 500 baseball going into August, as you well know,
yeah,
you get hot there going down the last two, three, 4 weeks of the season. You can get a playoff bid.
Yep. For grabs.
Baseball playoffs is a lot of fun.
It is. It's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And so is being down here. We love it. Larry, thanks
for coming by. All right, guys. You guys have a good rest of the day, and hopefully the weather gets a little warmer.
Yes, we're working on it. Okay. Larry Bowa, everybody.
So great.
Phil Spring training here at Clearwater. We're going to take a break and come back with more on 93.3 WMMR.
MMR's 50th birthday concert series presents MM Barbecue 2018. Our big all-day rock festival just got bigger, starring Alice in Chains, Stone Temple Pilots, just added Korn's Jonathan Davis, and station favorites, The Record Company. Also performing Ghost, Dorothy, Brad King, and Jackson's local shots opener in the presence of Wolves. One day, eight bands. The best deal in rock. Starting at just $35. On sale now. Ticketmaster.com. It's MMRBQ 2018. Saturday, May 19th, BB&T Pavilion. Join us.
Ball sacks are yummy.
Don't I know it. By the way, I think it's gotten up to 41 degrees.
Yeah.
Actually, Preston, there's
sweating.
Here in left field.
Big temperature. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, 41 degrees. So we are warming up. I think we're going to have
Are you jealous, Philly?
Reese Hoskins stopping by in just a little bit, and some other friends through the course of the morning. But I do want to go through our regular steps and get to some stuff like the Bizarre File. So let's do that right now. Here we go.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Buzzakaboom.
Brought to you by Delilah's. Delilah's presents the 2018 Entertainer of the Year, Wednesday, March 21st. And that will be with special guest host Brett Rossi. Visit Delilah's.com for details. Let's get to some of the stories. We'll start with this. Deputies say they arrested a man for attacking a dog owner with a tennis ball launcher.
Son of a bitch!
Deputies say Thomas Phillips was walking his dog without a leash when his dog ran up and began attacking another dog who was on a leash. Deputies then say the dog pulled out of its own collar and leash, at which point the other dog owner swung the leash at Phillips' dog to get it to let go. He said he began to strike the other dog, trying to get the other dog to stop attacking his dog when the suspect came over with a tennis ball launcher and hit him across the forehead with it.
Step back. I've got this.
And deputies say that the attack left the other dog owner with a cut and swelling, but no serious injuries. That would hurt. You've seen those plastic things that you put a ball on, you throw it.
They suck, yeah.
Hurt pretty bad. Pop them in the head. Okay. Here's an interesting story for you.
All right.
And it's got a little length to it.
But I think it involves foreskin from a baby.
No,
all downhill.
Yeah, it's not that. Right. So, a Washington State man who survived a samurai sword attack that authorities say was carried out by his now ex-girlfriend as he was sleeping told BuzzFeed News that his rigorous video game training left him with a lack of sex drive, which contributed to his former girlfriend's suspicions of infidelity.
Now, I play video games all the time, and that's about right.
Yeah, so he was, but he calls it video game training.
Training.
And he was training so hard that it killed his sex drive. He said, I was training too hard. It exhausted me. I felt bad because she needed the affection, and I just couldn't keep up.
Gonna work up a sweat, play a little Tetris.
This guy's name is Alex Lovell, and he said of his video game training regimen leading up to the attack, he said, she thought I was having sex with other people.
Nah.
Lovell was found by police curled up in the bedroom, bleeding with multiple lacerations and life-threatening injuries in the middle of the night. His former girlfriend of 2 years, Emily Javier, allegedly attacked him with a samurai sword after discovering Tinder on his phone.
Uh-oh.
And red hair in the shower drain.
Red hair in the shower drain, Tinder on his phone.
Javier, whose hair is dyed green, not red, has been charged with attempted murder. Her bail was set at $350,000. She's currently being held at the county jail. Now, Now, there's more to this story.
Well, I think there's a larger issue here, which is never date a girl who has a samurai sword.
Well, according... Well, she didn't have it initially. Listen to this. Okay. According to the court documents, Javier planned to kill Lovell a few days after she went out and bought a samurai sword at the mall.
So, when Kathy, when you tell Dennis you're going out to buy samurai swords, does he get worried?
Javier allegedly told police, "I was trying to kill him for cheating. That was my purpose."
Wow. Well, then there we go.
Court documents allege that Javier hid the sword and taped two knives to the side of her bed. And after Lovell fell asleep, she hid his phone so he couldn't call for help. Yeah, this is intense,
man. She was rigging it up.
Using her own phone to illuminate her sleeping boyfriend in the dark, Javier then allegedly grabbed the knife and began swinging and stabbing at Lovell. He told this to BuzzFeed, and he said that the only... Listen to this. He only survived thanks to Wing Chun, a form of martial arts that he became obsessed with after watching the kung fu movie Ip Man.
So he watched Ip Man and learned Wing Chun kung fu.
Yes, he said, "I've been indirectly preparing myself for this night my whole life."
My God, simply by watching TV and movies,
he said,
he's a martial arts master.
He said, "I didn't freeze. The Wing Chun came out."
He came right out.
He said, He said, "I was able to stand on a knee that was just almost chopped in half and a foot that was hanging on by a thread," because she had cut him with the samurai sword.
Just like Ip Man would have done.
He said, "She hit me twice with the blunt end of the sword. This was when God was with me. No other explanation than God turned the blade, and she only woke me up instead of cutting my neck open, which would have ended the fight before it started." During the end of the attack, Lovell says he grabbed Javier by the arms. As he looked her in the eyes, he said that she still managed to, quote, grab his package. She said she...
That's a martial arts term.
He said she tried to rip them off.
Tried to rip his nuts off.
Uh-huh. "But I wasn't angry. I loved this girl. I never had any anger. It was just pure love for her and life itself."
But you see, the skills he learned through Netflix saved his life.
He said, "I pleaded with her, telling her I loved her, and she was killing me. By pleading with her," he said, "he was able to convince her to stop the attack and call 911, an act which saved his life, and which," he said, "led him to forgive her."
Sweetheart, let's go out to Applebee's.
Lovell was admitted that had admitted that he never cheated on Javier. He said no one would ever come forward because there was never anyone else but her.
What about the red hair?
Well, he explained the red hair that she found in the tub. He said that he has reddish hairs on his chin and that some of his dog's hairs are also red in color.
So he was having sex with the dog.
No, I don't think so. He said, as for Tinder...
It's honey. It was the dog.
As for Tinder, he hasn't had the app on his phone since he and Javier became a couple. He also said that he had never had much success using the app. He said, "I'm not a model or 6'3". Tall dudes slay Tinder. Everyone knows that.
Tall dudes slay Tinder.
Really?
This is legit. This is a legit story,
didn't
folks.
Did he put his in his profile that he does some hardcore training with video games?
So, maybe not. But he wasn't 6'3", and tall dudes slay.
Tall dudes slay on Tinder.
On Tinder. All right, and there you go. That is our bizarre file. And I'm sure our next guest is wondering, who the F am I about to talk to? But he hasn't left, so that's
a good thing.
No,
he's held on. He wanted to find out where the red pubic hair came from.
That's right. Well, we are here at Spectrum Field for Phil's spring training. It's our first time ever on the Preston and Steve Show, coming to broadcast live, and we're excited about it. We're excited to have this gentleman here before us. Ladies and gentlemen, from your Philadelphia Phillies, Reese Hoskins is here.
Yeah!
Morning, Reese.
Having me.
Very nice to meet you, sir.
I walked in the middle of that, and I have so many questions.
Yes, please.
We're here to
go
answer.
Ahead. We're here to help you out, because we're confused as well.
She went out and bought the samurai sword just for that.
Honestly, if you were to see a receipt for a samurai sword and you're dating someone who went out and purchased it, wouldn't you be a little leery?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would ask a few questions.
Right.
I also kind of want to know what he was training for with the video games. That never really tied into the story there.
They never indicated what game it was. No. So,
he watched Ip Man on Netflix.
Yeah.
So that's how he got his martial arts skills.
Yeah, but
you're right. What was he training? What video game was he training with?
Don't know. Maybe he was playing Fortnite. I have no idea.
Fortnite.
Not really sure.
Probably everyone else is.
Yeah. No. Are you a gamer at all?
Not now. Not with spring training.
Yeah, of course not. Right.
Right.
In your downtime, will you ever play baseball video? The MLB.
Yeah, I've played the show before, but I would much rather play Madden or Fortnite.
Okay, yeah. Fortnite is, by the way, is I think right now has the record for the most people worldwide simultaneously playing it. Fortnite Battle Royale,
yep.
Which I just downloaded a little while ago. It's It's basically a Minecraft and a shooter at the same time.
It's that with a cross of Call of Duty. It's got really cartoony. And the best part about it is it's free.
It's free.
Yeah, right. We know you like a deal. if you want to talk about your experience at Target.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. We did read that you were excited that Target was having a two-for-one.
I'm a sucker for board games.
Are
you? Always have been. And, I mean, you see the picture there. I don't know if that was made specifically for me, but it got me.
What's your favorite board game?
Right now, I've been playing Ticket to Ride a lot.
I played that game.
Yeah, it's, see, I played it
with my 11-year-old son.
Well, hey, take it easy on me.
How do you play?
So it's I have the U.S. map, I have the Europe app, and I actually just got the Asian app for map for my birthday.
I'm not familiar with the game.
It's a train game. You have to build routes across countries.
Really?
Based on routes that you have that you draw. It's fun.
Take it to Ride. Don't tell me you're a Monopoly fan, though, are you?
I am.
Oh.
Yeah. Risk, Settlers of Catan.
Wow, you like all these strategy games,
Mexican
man.
Train. I've been playing a lot.
Mexican
big train
a lot
person,
of fun.
I guess.
Okay.
What about Magic the Gathering? I know it's not a board game, but...
Never got into it.
Okay.
I never got into it.
It's what they call it a card game, correct? Like, what is the actual phrase that they use?
I would like it more to like Gathering Dungeons or... & Dragons than anything else.
I know it. I just never got into it.
Did you get the Asian version of Ticket Ride because you were in Asia in the off season?
Well,
right?
I got it for a present, and that was the reasoning.
Okay,
so it was a cool present, and I played it yesterday.
And tell everybody where you went.
So I spent a week in China, 3 days in Beijing, and then 4 in Shanghai, and then I spent 10 days in Thailand, just kind of all over the place.
Do you find that when you leave an hour later, you want to go back? Is that the deal?
Hey, no. What was that? I had a friend who went to Hong Kong a long time ago. Loved it. Most people, when they're going to take a trip to Asia, they may choose Japan. But I've heard Hong Kong is much more affordable, and there's plenty to do. Did you have a good experience?
We were choosing between Japan and China. We definitely were pretty sold on Thailand, wanted to do a little bit of relaxing. But we chose China because of the wall.
Okay.
I really was interested in seeing that.
Something that can be seen from space.
Right, exactly, that's pretty cool in itself. And it's kind of like, I don't know if you've ever been to Niagara Falls.
Yes.
But in the real sense of the word awesome.
Yeah.
My mouth, the first time I went to Niagara Falls, my mouth was open the whole time. Just couldn't believe the amount of water. And I think that's kind of what the wall did. It's just so big. We were there for probably 4 or 5 hours and only walked 3 miles of it.
The achievement. I mean, what was pulled off?
Oh my God.
With that and anything like that of the man-made wonders
exactly.
or natural wonders.
Crazy.
Yeah, you're awestruck.
What's on your travel bucket list? Where you want to go next?
So next, as soon as you get back, like, all right, where are we going next? We want to do a safari, an African safari.
Oh, wow. Kathy's doing an African safari.
Yeah. So I had a couple friends that did it in South Africa and absolutely raved about it. So that's our hope.
Kathy's afraid of lions.
She's definitely afraid.
I'm not afraid of flying. I'm just.
No, I said lions. Lions.
Oh, lions. Yeah.
Yeah. She's going to South Africa and she's terrified that she's going to be killed.
Well, if we go, I want to try to get a hold of the narrator for Planet Earth so he can just
describe everything that you're seeing.
Exactly. Yes. It's like National Geographic.
I love it.
Oh, my awesome. God.
That's a great idea. Steve and I, we have not been down here to Clearwater, so this is our first experience of the whole thing. You've, obviously been here before and being in the big leagues and so forth. In preparations, do you prepare for coming out here for spring training, even though this is where your training begins?
Yeah. So the baseball season has really become a year-round thing.
Okay.
We get maybe a month, 2 months without baseball, but month without any sort of, physical activity, kind of just to let your body recuperate. But, I think the biggest goal for spring training is you want to make it as game-like as possible as soon as you can. So being prepared, and preparing in the off season and being prepared when you show up here to kind of, hit the ground running is one of the main goals.
How old were you when baseball became more of a year-round thing?
I would say, really, I grew up playing all sorts of sports. So I would say baseball didn't become a year-round thing until I got to college.
Okay. Was baseball your main sport?
Or yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I played basketball and football in high school. I grew up playing soccer as well. I just loved sports.
And when did you know that you were going to be able to make a living, like actually be a professional ball player?
Probably after my freshman year in college, I thought, okay, maybe this is a possibility.
I had a friend from high school that played, and he made it to Double A, and then had a couple of he was in the Marlins organization, and then he played a little bit Triple A ball. And at some point in his mid to early 20s, he knew that he was never going to probably make it to the show, and so he had to decide if I was going to stick it out, because ultimately he wanted to have a family and earn a paycheck and things like that, and you can't do it forever. So it's a tough decision to make.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was one thing that I knew going into professional baseball. Like, look, you have to have a plan at some sort of time, because like you said, you can't do it forever. You want to have some sort of life and start a family and have a career. That's hard to do when you're starting late.
Were you getting parental encouragement, or were you getting
a little bit?
Because I think in a way, dads are more inclined to support the notion of a sports career, whereas it's just. But you have to be practical about it, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. You have to be a realist about it.
Well, did it help pay for college? I mean,
it did.
So, because my sister, my nephew, he's a sophomore right now, and he's a really good baseball player. And they don't have, I think, unreal expectations. I think at this point in his – he's a sophomore in high school, mm-hmm. Playing varsity as a freshman. And they're like, okay, if this can get him into college and help offset, the
– Well, that was the main goal, right? Pay for school.
His goal is to sell board games at Target.
I was going to follow up. If you weren't a left fielder, first baseman in professional baseball, what do you think you'd be doing?
Besides board game connoisseur, I really enjoy cooking. Okay. So I think I probably would have tried to find my way into culinary school.
Well, you're in the right city to sort of do a
no
hybrid.
Kidding.
Yeah,
kidding.
I mean, you can finesse a lot of cooking ability in Philadelphia. Have you started to pal around with any chefs?
I have not.
Okay.
No, I have not. But I have explored many restaurants. And my goodness.
What cuisine is your favorite currently?
I don't think you can go wrong with Mexican food.
Yeah.
You really can.
No matter where you are. It's I think it's kind of a staple.
Yeah.
I don't know. I obviously ate a lot of Thai food this off season, so that was cool to explore. Very different for the palate, but
I think
very enjoyable.
In some countries, and I think especially as you start to get into the Asian countries, they literally eat everything.
Yep. Well, seafood is so prevalent too in the Asian culture. So.
I mean, I remember where did we first learn of starfish?
Oh, that was when the Beijing Olympics.
The Beijing Olympics. Yeah. They were eating starfish on a stick.
Yeah. What exotic things did you sample when you were out east?
So. We did eat scorpions on a stick, which was a little weird.
Yeah.
I drew the line at snakes on a stick.
Yeah.
I can't. I'm terrified of snakes, so that was...
But the scorpion on a stick makes sense. You don't want to reach in a bag full of scorpions.
No. It was fried.
Did you actually like it, or you just...
I don't think I would choose to eat it.
Yeah. Okay.
See, all right, so we...
You're adventurous. You'll take a stab at it.
We had dinner last night, and on the menu, they had gator bites, and I just wouldn't do it. I wouldn't even just to say that I tried it.
No?
No.
It's good.
Is it?
You've never had it? You're obsessed with alligators. It's all he wants to do while we're down here.
Have you seen an alligator down here yet?
I have not, actually. Normally we do. Sometimes, we'll find ourselves on a golf course, and they're hanging around.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. But I haven't this year.
I'm obsessed with it. I mean, the second the plane started landing yesterday, I was looking because you could see all the bodies of water.
Well, yeah, find a body of water that's bigger than a puddle. Mm-hmm. You got a good chance of seeing it.
You're right about the Gulf, because whenever you see, as of late, whenever you see a YouTube video or a viral video pop up, there was the one where was that huge Jurassic Park alligator walking out of a water trap at a golf course.
Brazier just showed me a picture. He was playing golf yesterday.
Yes, and saw
an alligator.
Go play golf,
man.
Casey and I have been down here, and we played golf several times.
We saw a raccoon.
Yeah.
the other alpha predator.
Yeah.
That was over at Disney.
It was at Disney. And he was like mangy looking. He was like,
I know where the alligators are.
You saw that really tall walking mouse in Disney as well?
I did see that.
Yeah, that was in the park.
Yeah.
That was in the park.
And rode a dragon.
Do you play golf while you're down here?
A couple times.
During
before
spring
we
training?
Really start to get going.
Yeah.
There's a little bit. We have a little bit more time.
Okay.
As you start to build up, and you're getting now, we're just just days away for everything starting to kick in. Are you the bucking bull at the rodeo, ready to go, or is it just slow and steady?
It's more slow and steady, but I will tell you that I think with the energy that's in the clubhouse right now, I would probably say that most of us are pretty anxious to get started.
That's cool. Yeah. That's cool.
Hey, you're number 17. Is that because your birthday's on the 17th?
You know, it's not. I was given it by chance.
The rapper?
Obviously, I'm going to keep it. Yeah. It seemed to work last year. It's been my spring training number since I was drafted in 2014, so we're going to keep it going.
Yep. Well, that's tomorrow. Tomorrow's your birthday, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
25 years old?
Yes.
Wow. All right, so, and you guys have a game tomorrow, and it's St. Patrick's Day. Are you, you're not able to really let loose on your birthday then, huh?
No, unfortunately not, but that's okay.
Yeah.
We'll find another day where we can make up for it.
Nice. Maybe you can have an all-night Stratego session.
Yeah.
Just let her rip Battleship or something.
My son with a good time now.
Yeah.
My son kills me in Stratego every time. I suck at those strategies.
Well, I always
games.
Hit the bomb. You know, there's always the bomb that they put in the Stratego piece. I always hit it.
Never played.
Never played Stratego.
No, I never played
Risk. I can tell you, man, it stinks.
Yeah. It's a classic. Although Risk one time, it has such tiny pieces. You mentioned that earlier. I played the valedictorian in our high school, and he beat me like five games in a row. I got so pissed off, and I finally flipped the board up in the air. And all those tiny pieces, like 3 years later, I'd find them in the, scattered all over the house. Hate that game. We were talking to Larry Ball earlier, and you said that, or he had said that it's mainly the guys, the hitters that want spring training to kind of let's get going, let's pick it up a little bit. So you're biting at the bit to get this season underway.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think people have always said that this 6 week period is more for the pitchers, get their arm ready, and rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know we need those guys to be as healthy as possible for as long as possible during the season. But you know, every hitter's different. Some guys need 20 at bats, some guys need 40, some guys need more just to kind of get their timing and you know, feel ready for the season. But I think once you get there, you're just like, okay, we need some real competition. We need these games to mean something.
Right, enough.
You know, you guys got a nice bullet in the gun in the bullpen with Arrieta coming in. And,
no
and
kidding.
How did that feel when you got word of that?
That's exciting.
Yeah.
It's one of those moments where you say, wait, really?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
I'm just glad I don't have to face him. He's on our team. I'm sure he's going to look great in the red pinstripes. It's a huge get.
That's cool.
It's like hearing a 2-for-1 sale at Target.
Yeah, it's just as exciting. Who's the toughest pitcher you've ever faced?
I'm going to say, you know, in the 2 months that I had, Steven Strasburg.
Yeah.
Guy's pretty good.
And that's a, you know, potentially five-time a year
exactly.
guy that you're going to have to go up
against. Exactly. But the cool thing about those guys is obviously, you know, the competition level is raised just a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's always fun.
It's split squad today, right? Mm-hmm. So are you playing here today?
No, I'm in Lakeland.
Okay, but you're playing here tomorrow on your birthday?
I am.
So this is what I want you to do.
Okay.
Tomorrow on your birthday, I want you to hit a home run for me, okay?
And
when you come across home plate, so I know that this is for me, I want you to pound your chest three times.
One, two, three.
Kiss your two fingers, and then point to the sky.
Okay.
All right.
Will you guys be here?
Yes.
Where are you gonna be sitting? I'll just point to you.
And there you go, Casey.
You know what? I'll be here. I'll be around this area.
When I'm running between second and third, I'll just point.
Pound your chest three times, and then point.
Fair
right. I'll be the one in green. I'll be wearing green on St. Patrick's.
Compromise is good.
Yeah. And you can say that sick boy up there with the yeast infection.
The neck beard.
The neck beard and the yeast infection.
Yeah, he's got neck bearditis.
Yeah, man with the
a wish thing. So
weird and a yeast infection up there. I asked for a home run.
I love it. All right, Reese, man, thanks for coming by here and an early happy birthday to you.
Yeah,
we appreciate it, man. We're excited for the season. So
thanks.
We'll see you soon. All right.
Appreciate it.
Let's hear for Reese Hoskins, guys. Very, very cool stuff. We will take yet another break. We'll be back in a moment. There's more people coming on board. This is a lot of fun. We are here in Clearwater at Spectrum Field. Be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Now, more with Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Our next guest is not only a great ball player and a stand-up guy, but he's also a celebrity judge for the World Championship of Belly Flop that we did at Valley Forge Casino last summer.
Not many major league players can claim that.
Not many can. Please welcome Cameron Rupp.
Yeah! What's up, guys?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you guys this morning?
We're wonderful. It's starting to warm up finally, man. The sun's up.
47
now.
47 we're at now.
It's like 38 when we got here.
It's just glorious.
Yes.
You guys probably didn't think you left Philadelphia.
Yeah, seriously.
The only
think between the difference between now and actually yesterday, there was a sleet and snow storm, a mix, a wintry mix. So we missed out on that.
Oh, that's too bad.
We're a little late, but congratulations on the new addition to your family.
Oh, thank you.
You guys had a baby 6 weeks ago?
Yeah, we had a little girl 6 weeks ago.
Wow.
That is so cool.
Yeah, she went on her first trip to Disney World yesterday.
I'm sure she'll remember every second of it.
Every bit of it. Yeah. Let me tell you, there's plenty of pictures for her to remember.
Well, I tell you what she's going to love is the next belly flop challenge. So, we'll have a bassinet out there.
We had a six-year-old judge last year.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now we got a, well, let's see. It'll be about 8 months.
Yeah.
By that time.
Did you guys have a game at Disney yesterday?
No, yesterday was off. Okay. We had an off day yesterday.
Yeah, because I was fortunate enough, my family and I, we were in Disney World a few years back, and the Phils played against the Braves. You know, the Braves' spring training facilities at the Wide World of Sports in Disney World is pretty cool.
Yeah. And what's your daughter's name?
Perry Gray.
Perry Gray.
Yeah.
Any family significance, or you just went for...
No, it wasn't my choice. I just had to agree.
So Perry, you're a smart man.
P-E-R-R-I?
P-E-R-I.
Oh, P-E-R-I. Yeah. Well, that's
like
cool.
Perry Gilpin.
And yes. we were checking out, Kathy, you wanted to point out his lovely bride is looks stunning after having the baby.
Oh, yeah. Marissa and I were looking at your picture that was, I guess, you put out on social media. And, yeah, she basically looks like she was never pregnant.
Oh, well, you guys can tell her that. She'll be here today.
Yeah, whenever I tell my wife anything about it, the way she looks, you have to say that. You're my husband. I'm like, oh, God damn it, I can't win.
Nice. So we were just talking about, you know, obviously we've talked a lot of baseball this morning. We had Larry Bowa and Charlie Manuel and Gabe Kapler come by. We already had a conversation off air about some of the things that go on while you're here, because some days you do have days off. You want to take advantage of while you've been down here in Florida. So you've been out. You went to Disney World, took the family, where you went fishing as well.
Yeah, we went. Yesterday was our second off day. The first off day was about 10 of us. We took a few boats offshore. We went like 40 miles off.
Going for slightly bigger stuff, right?
Yeah. We went bottom fishing. We were about 100 feet deep, and we caught a bunch of grouper, brought it back here, and they cooked it for us.
Nice.
And,
nice.
On the way back in, we trolled, and I caught a 3.5-foot kingfish.
Damn.
Nice.
So that was pretty cool.
How much does that weigh?
They don't weigh very much. They're really, really long.
Okay.
Have you ever gotten like full-blown sport fishing, like marlin and stuff like that?
Yeah, but I never caught anything.
Never caught anything. All right.
Yeah.
Anybody go out there that had motion sickness and didn't realize that they were going to get it?
No, nobody did.
Okay.
I thought it was going to be really funny because I would be the guy to get it.
Yeah.
I can't sit in the back seat of a car.
You can't?
No. So I get really, really motion sickness, car sick, everything. So
what
I
about amusement park rides?
No, nothing. No way.
No way.
No way.
Yeah, but when you're...
I went on the Dumbo flying elephant yesterday. That was as extreme as I got.
See, that would make me sick. Anything that goes around in a circle over and over again, so I feel nauseous.
Dumbo would put you down, huh?
Yeah.
So we had our 7-year-old. She was going around, and she went on the ride with me. And, you know, you can control going up and down.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, she wanted to have control of that. And I was like, oh, man.
You can kill me. You can.
Okay. So, I mean, we as soon as we got in, she hit that thing and we go straight up to the top. And I'm like, oh, my God. And I kind of have a little fear of heights. And,
yes.
And you're looking at it and you're going around the circle and you're like, it's not that bad. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, you're at the very top and you're like, exactly. Yeah. And then we go and we hit it and she's like trying to go higher and it's just like, bouncing and we can't go any higher, and then we go all the way down and I'm like, can we stay down here?
And by the way, you're a bigger dude, so those things are more tailored for smaller kids, and when it starts to rattle a little bit,
I'm like,
you get a little, when was the last time this thing was inspected?
Yeah, exactly. Does this seatbelt really work?
This is not for me. No, that's it.
Oh, man, I can't believe you're like afraid of heights and all that. That's so funny.
Yeah, you look at me and you think I'm probably not scared of a whole lot.
Well, I also like how you're not ashamed of it either. You're like,
no, it's...
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, man, I'm looking down. We were out on the boat, and I'm just sitting there. There's a couple times the storm started coming in later in the day. We were out there for 8 hours on the boat and coming in, and it got really, really choppy. And there was one point I thought I was going to lose my lunch.
Yeah, I love the chop. I mean, we would go out all the time. We were boating, you know, since we were kids growing up on Long Island. We go out in the Sound and stuff like that, but It's funny when you bring someone out who has no idea they have motion sickness. Because
you get sick, you just keep getting sick.
Well, you just never stop.
And you can't go
you're
anywhere.
Stuck because
they don't bring you back.
And then they'll give you the advice. They'll say, look at the horizon. Keep looking at the horizon. It doesn't do anything.
There's nothing you can do except wait. And then eventually get off
That's
the boat.
That's it, yeah.
And then you get off the boat and you're still going like this.
Well, what happens is they eventually vomit themselves into sleep.
Right? Yeah. So, Casey mentioned not being ashamed, and there, it's no secret that you grew up and are a Cowboys fan. But in this offseason, you became an Eagles fan as well. Is that accurate?
I just wanted people to like me.
Honestly.
I mean, I can't say I became a fan, but I was really, really happy. One, I've got some buddies that play for the Eagles. Zach Ertz.
Yeah.
You know, he's been a good friend of mine since he's been here. And LeGarrette Blount, I had the pleasure of meeting him, and he gave me one of his jerseys. So I was like, you know what?
So you can root for the players.
I can root for them. And you know what? I was really happy for the city of Philadelphia.
Well, you're a professional athlete in the city, and I know that sounds silly to say to somebody who's on the Phillies, but you can appreciate how much the fans appreciate winning.
Yeah, absolutely. It's awesome. You know, I'm just glad they didn't burn down Citizens Bank after we won. I was like, man, where are we going
to
play?
I'll tell you what, and it's something that then it's the way we tried to cover the parade and everything, which was it didn't matter, you know, what level of fandom you had or whatever level of support. That's a day, as it was when the Phillies won the World Series, that you will just remember forever, you know, no matter what level. It's just those are moments in time that are just incredibly special. You know, what's your takeaway? Were you on the grounds for the parade? Or
no, I was back home.
Yeah.
You know, we had our daughter, I think, like 3 days, 4 days All before right. the
oh,
Super
wow.
Bowl.
And that was the excuse you used.
I mean, you know.
No, it makes sense.
And so we, you know, we went out, and we watched Super Bowl, and then saw the parade, and I can't imagine what it would have been like being there.
Oh, it's just phenomenal, and
there was like 2 million people. I don't know how many people.
No one has ever fully, flat out, officially given a head count.
Yeah,
and I don't know why that is.
I heard there was going to be like 2 million something.
Yeah, that's what we heard. And then they came in and said there were 700,000 people there, and I was like,
somebody doesn't. Well, they can't count to 2 million. So.
Yeah,
I mean,
they had to stop
from the sports complex all the way down to the art museum. You mean to tell me that 700,000 people?
There's no
way.
It was way
more.
You know, I asked Larry Boa earlier this morning because he's been he's played for teams in his career where the city's other major teams started to have success, and he said that it can be contagious. There's something about that. Did you guys do you feel
Absolutely.
That?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you look at the Flyers are in a playoff spot.
Yeah.
The Sixers are playing good basketball. I'm not a basketball fan, so I have no
Okay.
I think
well, they're in a playoff spot.
Yeah. They're doing really well.
They won last night.
Yeah. And so you know, you want to keep it going. You don't want to be the team that screws
well,
it all.
Listen, the Philly fans are in a good spot right now.
Yeah, and then we went out and we added Jake, and I mean, it's got to fire you up.
Also just on the level that, and I think it's what the what is being revisited, which is the notion of just having fun with the sport you chose to play, and if you do that and you work hard as you guys obviously are doing, you know. Good things happen. So, and everyone has a genuine excitement about the prospect for you guys this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's fun. You know, we love coming out here, competing every day, and you know, at the same time, it's like, you know, we hate to lose.
Yeah,
right.
It's not fun.
Yeah,
we don't enjoy it. You know, we don't just come out here and like, oh man, we lost again.
Let's screw with them today.
Yeah, you guys don't get to this level by having a mentality like, you know, we're just gonna go out there.
Exactly.
No. Well, with Jake signing with the Phils, you know, you guys have to have a nice rapport, a nice relationship, and. How many pitchers are on the staff, and you have to have a rapport with each and every one of those guys.
Yeah, you got to learn them.
Yeah.
You know, there's new guys that come in each year, and you got to learn. And Jake's going to be a guy you got to learn to work with. Learn how he pitches, what his weapons are, and be ready to fight with him.
Well, all right, so who commands the relationship? Is it a 50-50? Is it more pitcher than catcher? Like, as far as input is concerned?
Well, it's more of the pitcher. I got to be able to do what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're the guy. They got the ball. So, you know, I've got to be able to work with him more so than he's got to work with us.
And you both have to do your homework. I'm sorry, Steve. You both have to do your homework on the batters, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've got a game plan going in, and I've got to do my best to keep him out of situations that make him uncomfortable.
Does the point come where you make sure he's the only one in the shower? And then you come in.
You still hear him out. Show hear him out.
Boss. Whoa. Yeah.
No, you mean a prison.
The boss. Right.
Yeah.
Did you finish?
Yeah, I'm done.
Oh, all right. Yeah. I didn't know where that was going.
That if you were to violate him once.
Yes. So, Cameron, obviously a lot of talk this week, and rightfully so, about Jake Arrieta, but the Phils made another huge free agent signing in the offseason with Carlos Santana. I don't know much about the guy. What can you tell?
Great guitarist.
Not the rock god.
What a musician.
Honestly, a late career change, but we're very excited.
Yeah, I mean, he should do every national anthem.
Right?
No, the player, Carlos Santana, what can you tell us about?
Los is awesome. You know, he's been very successful in the big leagues. It's a huge addition for us. You know, it's a guy, he has professional at bats. He goes up there, he works the count, he gets on base, and he also drives the ball out of the ballpark a lot. And that's huge. And that, in a ballpark that we play in, homers are awesome.
Yeah.
How about having a coach who's, you know, obviously a former player, clearly walks the walk when it comes to training and physicality, and then also brings to that a very seductive skill set when it comes to being motivation. Not raping him in the shower, I'm talking about.
I don't know where you're going with the whole seduction.
I know I probably, the preamble to that probably
was a little whoa.
But his ability to motivate.
Yeah, I mean, he's great. He's not far removed from the game. He's fairly young. He knows what it's like to be in our shoes.
Have you showered with him?
Oh, my God. Hey, real quick, I'm going to pivot real quick.
Cut you off. Turn your microphone off.
God, I've had too much hot chocolate. I apologize.
What's your favorite snack in the dugout?
Sunflower seeds.
What flavor? Plain?
Plain.
Plain?
Yes. All right.
Because ranch is good. Ranch is good. Buffalo's good. And then there's a new, not a new brand. Do you like the Biggs? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Do you prefer those or just a regular?
You guys are going to think I'm real, whatever.
Hey, go ahead, for it.
I get the salt out of there.
Really?
Because I eat too many of them and it chews my mouth up.
You're right.
All right.
So what do? You pre-soak them or something?
Yeah,
like
you just open the bag, pour water in it, and then
the
water out.
Look at you. You're an innovator.
Can't you buy them unsalted?
Yeah, but they're still salted.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so do you do the routine where you in the shell, just throw a bunch in your mouth and chew on them and get the middle out? Yeah, do you do it that way too, Case?
Oh, yeah, that's the way to do it. No,
I know.
I'm trying to teach my son how to do that. What my son does is he puts a mouthful in there and then he just chews them up and spits
them
out.
That's how I do it.
Yeah, he doesn't swallow
the nut,
anything,
if you will.
Why? Listen, it's what it is.
I hope he doesn't swallow the nut.
Well, it's a seed.
Yeah. Swallow the nut.
Seed, nut, both of those can be used in the same way. Here we go.
We will never have Cameron on the show again.
I tried to pivot so bad right there.
Let me re-pivot. Why have ribs never caught on in the dugout? There's a lot of spinning, a lot of stuff going on. Who is the most disgusting player you've ever seen or worked with? Out because you know,
disgusting.
Lenny Dykstra
was legendary.
Yeah, nobody liked playing in center field when they would play against him. It was just a huge pile of spit.
And it's just part of the deal. It doesn't mean they were a bad person.
No, because the guy that I could mention, you guys would be like, oh my god,
really?
Chase.
Chase.
Chase did not care. On days he wouldn't play, he'd sit on the end of the dugout. He'd have sunflower seeds, dip, whatever it was.
Wow.
I don't think he dips anymore. But he would have, and he'd just be sitting there slouched over and just
coming right
spit on himself.
The seeds would just fall on his jersey.
When you're that good looking, I guess you can do that, right?
Or just start kind of drooling his dip. And it just... and he'd look at me and he'd just be like, what?
You only wish you looked this good.
Exactly. Oh, and he didn't care.
Yeah.
You know, he really didn't.
He's like an old man in real life because he's a seasoned veteran. He doesn't have to prove anything to anybody.
Yeah, no, he might have been. He probably still does it over in L.A.
I love baseball movies. And what I do love about, and I don't know if this is what it's like in the big leagues, but I love when catchers talk smack to the batters as they're batting. Do you do that? And does that happen?
Sometimes. I mean, the more you've been around, you get to know players a little bit and you can kind of do it.
Do you go after someone who's drawn first blood or will you incite? Will you trash talk or?
I do more. I joke around.
Okay. Just more kind of, yeah.
Like, it's like the Sandlot. Hey, is that your sister out there? You know, kind of just have a good time with it.
Sure. Will you get them more to crack up sometimes?
Oh, yeah. There's a few guys, you know, like guys that we play. We play the Braves 20 times a year. Yeah, you see, you know, so many familiar faces, the Marlins and those guys. And so you do have a little bit of fun with them.
Oh, that's cool.
Who's your best friend outside of the organization on another team?
Oh, man. Let's see. Well, there's a pitcher for the Red Sox, Brandon Workman. We played Little League together from 8 years old.
No way.
Summer ball. We didn't go to high school together, but we played organized baseball outside from the time we were 8 years old.
Wow.
To a senior in high school, and then we were roommates in college.
Oh, wow.
That's amazing.
For 3 years. And
both made the bigs.
Yeah. The first time that we were not on the same team outside of, like, summer ball, college summer ball, was when we were in professional baseball.
Is it possible? I mean, obviously you have all sorts of friends and stuff like that, but I assume your best friends would be people who could commiserate with what your life's journey has been about. They're just things you know. And
lots of stuff to talk about in the shower.
Right. When you're going
to Okay, him time. And I don't shower.
It's sponge bath.
Or that.
I can't believe that it's either. Gone down this road.
I just thought it seems to work in prison movies if you're looking to be dominant.
What? This doesn't look like prison to you, does it? I was just at Disney World yesterday, the happiest place on earth, and now I'm in prison.
Are you saying Shawshank isn't happy? No, but that's because Santa Teresa. I just wonder, though, if it's like some people sometimes say, like, you know, I like to, like actors or whatever, out of the industry because you get tired of talking. But you love the sport. I assume your friends, you want to be around people who are like-minded, correct?
Yeah, and you'd probably find it pretty funny. We don't talk about baseball.
Do you not? Really?
You know, we're here. You're here 10 hours a day. You know, and it's every single day for eight months. And you know, well, there's times you go out and you have a beer or two and hang out, talk about the game or whatever. Or you go home, you spend time with your family. And the last thing anybody wants to do is talk about baseball.
Right, right.
You talk know, about work. It's work, you know.
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
Work for a baseball company.
It's not work, but at the end of the day, it'd be like going home to you guys and, oh, what'd you talk about on the radio today?
Right, but, right.
You know, what'd you guys...
I'm on the radio, honey.
Yeah.
You heard me.
Right.
Yeah. What do we got to talk about it for?
Right, yeah.
That's why I tell my dad, you know, I'll have a bad night at the plate and whatever, and he'd be like, so, tough night. And I was like, well, you watched it. You don't got to tell me.
Thanks for the updates, Skippy.
I remember.
Yeah, where does he live? Does he live in Texas?
Yeah, he lives in Dallas.
And so I guess he has the ticket and he watches.
Yeah, he watches. He comes.
That's cool, man.
You know, he's retiring at the end of this year, and he jokes about moving in with me.
Oh, you need that.
Okay.
You need that.
He's like, yeah, mama and the kids will really love that one, won't they? Yeah.
You need to check those retirement home brochures.
You start sending them.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be like stepbrother. It's like stepbrothers. As soon as he is of age, I'm putting him in a home. If he hears this, he's going to call me and he's going to yell at me and just call me all sorts of bad names.
God,
love you, Dad.
You've hit on one of our favorite movies, Step Brothers. Oh, my God. Oh my God.
It was on two nights ago.
It just
and it was old. Past my bedtime and I stayed up and
watched. But you know the deal. Then occasionally, so it'll be on like TNT or something, but then when it's on like HBO,
it's uncensored.
With the language in, it's that's when it's pre- and that's a movie we've talked about. We actually had Adam McKay, who's a friend of the show, on who directed and co-wrote
that's
it.
That's awesome.
You know, he loves that it has now reached that mountaintop of the quoting we do with that movie.
Yeah. Guy is from Philly, and he's a Phillies fan, right? So the guy who wrote
Adam McKay,
Anchorman. Others. He is a fan of you.
Oh, yep. Right.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm a bigger fan of him. I promise.
You know what you need to do? Get him to sign a samurai sword for you.
Yeah. Wait, Randy Jackson.
I want Randy Jackson on
it. It's hilarious.
We'll have to get these two to meet. Definitely.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah.
No, and our bullpen coach, Jim Gott. He's a bigger fan of Step Brothers than I am.
Okay.
Like, they quote it in the bullpen. And the other night, I texted him. It was on TV, and I texted him. And he was like, I hope you're still when you sleep, because I'm putting a rat trap between your legs.
You know, we actually asked him about Adam McKay. Asked him, you know, there's never really an explanation of why these guys are so stalled. You know, they're older guys, but they
have kids. I just want to live in my
originally
parents.
They did sort of explain it, but they thought it'd be funnier if they just, yeah, that's the way they are. Yeah,
I mean, can you imagine how much fun it would have been to make that movie, especially when they're sleepwalking in the kitchen?
Oh, my God.
Watch the blooper reels.
It's the best.
There are about 7 different blooper reels and outtakes from that movie. The outtakes alone, I must watch them 50 times a month.
And they're always funny.
He's
always
got the coffee funny grinds or whatever. He's just shaking it and going everywhere.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite parts.
While you're down here, just go on YouTube and type in Step Brothers bloopers. You will absolutely freaking love it.
I'm going to do it after I'm done.
I'm doing it right now.
Are you playing here today?
I'm coming in the second half of the game today.
Okay, right. Cool.
So I'll be in here.
All right, so we'll be here for the game. I'm throwing out the first pitch
today. Don't bounce it.
Okay.
But you know what?
You're not going to be catching for me?
I might be able to come out and do that.
Okay. That'd be cool.
You might be okay if you bounce it here just because everybody's happy. We're down in Florida. We're not in the snow.
Right.
But if you did it in Philly and you bounce it, you get booed.
Yep.
My mom threw it out a couple years ago and didn't bounce it, so don't bounce it.
John was telling me, Brazier was telling me, if it goes too high, you get an ooh. If it bounces, you get a boo. Yeah.
There it is.
That's the rule.
Right. Go high.
All right, go high. I'll go high. All right, cool, man. Listen, great to see you, and we'll see you this season, and thanks for being here. We appreciate it,
guys. It's always fun coming on.
All right, love it. Camera up, guys. Let's take another break. We'll come back in a moment. We are live at spring training in Clearwater, Florida on MMR.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand and Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Are you ready for love? Well, Steven Singer Jewelers has hand-picked diamonds paired with beautiful mountings to create a stunning engagement ring that's ready to go right now. Check out his Ready for Love Diamond Engagement Ring collection online at IHateStevenSinger.com and have it shipped immediately for free, all at the perfect price. One place, one price. Steven Singer Jewelers.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Our next guest, man, used to come on our show back in the day, back in from NBC 10, and now he's been at home here for a number of years, and he works for ABC Action News. It's Jamison Euler!
Hey, guys. Hey.
How are you, man?
It's been about, 8 years now?
It's been a stretch. But I love you're wearing your shirt. Nick Frickin' Foles,
yep.
It says.
You know it.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, yeah, it's been 8 years. It's gone by really fast, but it's a good time down here.
Did you find plenty when the whole Eagles season was bubbling to a head? Did you have plenty of people to celebrate with down here? Because there's a lot of Philly transplants.
There is a lot of Philly transplants down here. When I moved back down here back in May 2010, it was. As soon as you get down here, everybody is from the Northeast, and you have a huge Philadelphia contingency down here. It almost felt like you just went, you just shifted to a warmer climate. That was it.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's great. It is a big Philly transplant.
Hey, I notice you have a tattoo on the inside of you. Is that, what is that now?
That's Aramaic. It means Yeshua.
Yeshua?
Yeshua.
What is that?
In Aramaic.
Okay.
Jesus. Yep.
Oh, okay, there you go.
On the inside bicep there.
I thought it
a little dead.
To you.
A little dead leg.
Back to you.
I think it means mistake. Right. I'm not sure. I know, who knows?
So, Jameson, how much did it mean to you when Wawa started building properties in Tampa?
Okay, so here's I got down here in the first year. I was a little homesick, I won't lie. But then Wawa built their first location over in Orlando. So you got about a 90-minute drive down I-4. And I heard that Wawa was opening a location over there. I hopped in my car and I drove 90 minutes for a hoagie and some coffee.
Nice.
Yeah. And then after it blew up over there. I mean, they opened two or three stores and then they opened them up. And now they're on every corner here in Tampa. And it's like you're home.
And apparently, we did not stop by one that we passed by coming in to the area, Preston. But like they have outside seating, some of them. And
it's Florida.
Crazy.
We stopped off on the way here this morning, Steve.
Did you?
Yes. Yeah. And not only that, but there's an entire beer section in the Wawa and wine.
So
and
how come the sun of the main creature is better than the creature itself?
I don't know. It's like a weird alternate universe or something.
I know. It's not fair.
Yeah.
Do you know how great it is to pick up a six-pack and a Wawa and a soft pretzel? It's great.
Yeah. No, it is cool. It is cool. A little slice of home, but you're right. There's so many people down here, and just walking through the airport and stuff, there are people who just bizarrely recognized us.
Yes.
But it's a great vibe.
Yeah, and you'll notice when you get on the airport here and you're heading back, you're going to get the same thing. People are going to recognize you because there is like that big Philly group down
there.
Besides Wawa, Jameson, what do you miss most about Philadelphia?
Cheesesteaks.
Okay.
All the time. I mean, down here, the equivalent of the Philly cheesesteak is the Cuban sandwich. You know, everybody talks up the Cuban sandwich. I talk up the
Philly
cheesesteak.
They're good, too, though.
They are delicious. And, you know, traveling around trying to find the best Cubans, not a bad thing to do.
All right. That may be something to work on today.
There was a cheesesteak on the menu last night. I almost, you know.
I'll tell you what. I've traveled around. I mean, they've got Delco cheesesteaks here at the ballpark.
Okay.
Which is good. The one cool thing is that there's a guy not too far down from where I live. He's originally from Aston.
Oh, there you
has
go.
Has two shops and Amoroso rolls, chops it up.
Who is that? We've talked about him.
His name's Ben Coya. He owns a place called Philly Flava, and it is amazing.
I think we talked about him on the show a little while back.
When you have a Philadelphia transplant opening up a cheesesteak shop in different areas, there's another guy who listens to the show. He lives in Austin, and it's called like Philly Way South or something like that. If you have that, and you try and keep it legit, and like
Amoroso rolls.
Yeah, you ship down some rolls from the Philadelphia area. Then you're going to get something almost like the original.
I got cheesesteaks here. I've got Wawa here. I'm good. I got sunshine.
Yeah.
It's been
so
good.
So
contrast to the so you're doing news up in Philadelphia.
Yep.
What's the difference down here besides obviously a little bit more in the way of hurricanes?
Just a lot more laid back.
A lot more laid back.
You know, I mean, obviously
boring or cool?
No, it's cool. You know why?
Sometimes go out and create the news just so you can.
No, it's not that slow.
A mess, man.
Well, you know, I don't know.
Florida gets enough freaking news. I do the entire Bizarre Files about Florida.
You literally could do. You could do a whole. I mean, Florida is just notorious for just the craziest
bizarre
news.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah,
we have the most bizarre news down here. So
I've called it the Germany of the United States.
It is, and you know, and I worked in Orlando for a couple of years before I went back to Philly, and I was working at NBC 10, and again, just a crazy news market. Every day, something strange or bizarre was going on there. Tampa, not so much. I don't know what it is when you shift to this side, like the Gulf side. Things are a little calmer.
Yeah,
everybody's more laid back. There's a beach.
Have you noticed? I mean, you guys, you know, spend a little time down here. You'll notice the Gulf side is a little more relaxed than the Atlantic side. So it's a little slower in that sense. But
right.
We still get our fair share.
Still
of
get
news.
Your fair share.
Totally.
Very cool.
Still Florida.
Nice. What is it? What do you recommend people do if they come down here? If they're coming down for spring training, is there something that they should do besides obviously going to the ball games and so on?
Yeah, I mean, the beaches here are just, you know, a stone's throw away from the ballpark. So I mean, you can go up and down, you know, any of the beaches here. Clearwater Beach obviously is one of the most famous that we have here. The cool part about this place is that, you know, after you travel all over the world and you go to all these different beaches, the beach is here year in and year out, number one in the country.
Still competitive.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. The white sugar sand and everything, it's completely different than being down the shore.
Mm-hmm.
It
you
is.
You still make it up and hit the Jersey Shore during the summer?
Every once in a while, and then you step out there and you're like, yeah.
Will you sometimes open up your cesspool and swim in it just to get nostalgic?
just a little bit. I mean, it's weird because you're used to like blue water, blue calm water, white sugar sand. You go back there and you're like, oh, okay, this is all right.
You know what? Is the area, since there's so many fields out here and so many teams come down here and use this for spring training, is this like Jersey Shore season when all of a sudden the Shoobies come in and everybody takes over the towns? Do the locals feel that way about it? Or
everybody's really receptive. I mean, snowbirds, of course, are going to be here from, you know, from October to April or whatever. But it's fine. You see the traffic pick up a little bit. But I'll tell you, when you come out here to Spectrum Field and watch a game, the cool part about it is it's so intimate. You know, it's not like being at a major league ball field, right? It kind of feels like you're watching a little league game at Williamsport because you can catch a blanket out there in the berm. You can actually come out here a little early too and stand right here by the bullpen and just 10 feet above these guys and watch them warm up and pitch. And
it's very cool.
Blow you away. I mean, it's just an intimate experience.
I heard leather slapping and I looked behind me and Nick was yanking something in his pants. No, there's ball players right back here just playing catch right behind us.
Aaron Nola.
Yeah, that's not even on the field. I mean, they're just you're right up on top of them.
Yeah, Aaron Nola is what, 50 yards away from us having a catch out there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just a great spot. I've been to all these major league ballparks that are down here because they're all within an hour of each other. This by far is the best experience. The Tiki Bar out in left field.
Yeah,
is a blast.
We are right now, just off to the side.
So you think Spectrum Field is the best out here?
By far. And I'll tell you know why. You walk around, you do a couple laps, and you start bumping into people you haven't seen in years.
That's the funny thing, that the first time I came was 10 years ago. And then I came back in 2012, and you run into people that you had no idea were also in Florida at the same time as you.
It blows you away. You're like, all of a sudden it becomes like this like social hour. It's like running into somebody at the Princeton, right? When you're down the shore, you're like, hey, what are you even up to, Daddy? What's going on?
Oh, I've heard that it's that Schmegma Park is not that impressive.
Not so much.
No. Jameson, when are you on the air here on the ABC affiliate?
I'm with ABC Action News down here now. It's Monday through Friday, 5, 6, and 11 p.m.
Okay.
It's like the big deal here.
You're the big deal.
Well, I mean, you know,
there's
I'm
the anchor, up right? Of
Yeah, you drive down the road, you might see my face up there, but I'm not a Jim Gardner status yet, you know. But that's what we all aim for in this business.
Who are your co-anchors?
My co-anchor is Wendy Ryan.
Okay,
I've been side by side with her for the 8 years that I've been down here.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So we've got I think the most the team tenure down here at this.
Yeah,
point.
Yeah, yeah.
Is this a place where you would make home for a career?
Yeah.
And because it's hard for news people because they do bounce around from town to town from. You know, but sometimes you find a spot where you're successful and it becomes your home.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. Is that how you feel about this place?
It is. I mean, it's still a big market. It's the 12th biggest market. You know, I think last year we were 11 and we bumped down, but you know, you're still talking a big television market. Like I said, I like this side. I like the golf side versus when I was
because
over in Orlando.
Because people take time with their meth.
They do.
You do anything hobby-wise? You do, like, play golf? You fish?
You golf down here a ton. You know what? I'm not a fisherman, but, you know, this is the spot to do it. Everybody always talks about heading out into the golf and trying to catch some.
I mean, yeah, the golf has so much that is very cool going for it, but the if you get into fishing, you're right in the hot spot.
You know, I love to surf, but this just isn't the side for it.
Right.
With the bull sharks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and you don't get as good waves on this side.
Yeah, no, you got to wait for the tropical storm to pass by.
Hey, how was that whole hurricane thing, dude? We saw the bay looked like it emptied out and you could walk on it.
That
was
literally
crazy.
Was the creepiest. So that day when that you know, went back out, and we thought we were going to get hit with a tsunami.
Yeah.
Because we were like,
look that way.
I mean, we were going, okay, the last time we saw this was like, what, Thailand?
Yeah.
So
we're
going, okay, do we need to prepare for something here? And luckily we didn't. That was the most bizarre hurricane.
It was actually the wind was so sustained and so strong it literally blew the water out of the bay.
It was unbelievable. Yeah. There's an area in Tampa called Bayshore Boulevard and it looks out onto the bay there and that water just filtered out and so people are usually down there biking and running on the sidewalk and then that day they just started walking out. hundreds of yards to where water. It was such a bizarre storm.
A bad idea. I wouldn't.
Yeah,
do it. I know. Like, that's what people did.
We did. We were on the air and we're like, listen, we don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah. And what did happen? I mean, when the water did it come back with a vengeance? Or
no, not at all. Came back completely calm. It was just strange. It was one of those storms where, you know, it was a Cat 5 as it was turning towards Florida. We were we were scared.
You think of the famous the Bay of Fundy, which where when the tidal shift happens,
same exact
people walk out and they get caught as it comes raging back in.
We thought that that's what might happen, yeah, and we're going, well, it's this is going to be a more interesting news day than we thought.
Right.
We're trying to tell people come back in.
No, it's cool. But that said, all you know, this is looks like as long as you stay here, you're.
I would love to. I would love to.
Loaded.
And you know, when you have a slice of home down here all the time and so many transplants down here, it is great. It really is. And I apologize for the cold weather this morning. I think you guys brought it with you.
Yes.
But this is this time of year, you know, the 50, you know, 45, 50 degrees in the morning time. And then, you know, by the afternoon, it's 72 and perfect. So
hey, we're talking to Jason, Jameson Euler, if you're just tuning in, our old friend who's been down here for a stretch now, a good 8 years or so. But we want to say hi to another buddy. He's got to get to work, but we just saw him walking by. Scott Palmer's
here.
Hey, good, Scott. How are you?
Are you kidding? We're in Clearwater, Florida.
I know.
Spring training, Jameson knows.
Jameson was just saying, hey, you run into people you know while you're down here, and you're one of them.
Well, and running into you guys is great. I'm glad you're all here. I can't believe it's the first time you've been here.
It is, yeah.
Spectrum Field, and I'm watching you all the time on TV. I know that guy.
Yeah.
we're all the guys in front of the TV, you know, and sometimes we're behind the TV, and good to see a familiar face from Philly.
Yeah. So were you exercising? Because you were just walking by with your headphones
in. I don't think that's called exercising. I think that's called old man walking around the ballpark.
Getting the blood flowing,
pretty much. Yeah, okay. Just a little bit. You know, you got to get it in before the day starts.
Sure. Later on, you'll do the deadlifting and all that stuff.
Hey, clearly, you have not been here.
I have a fairly practical question because the ballparks—they're going to be opening up the doors in about an hour. So I'm starting to get a little hungry. What should we eat here at the ballpark? What do you recommend? Anything?
Choice of anything. Just
anything?
Go around. Start at home plate.
Yeah.
Go right. Go left. You're going to find Delco cheesesteaks.
Yep.
Right there.
Where Jameson just said they have Delco cheesesteaks here.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. And anything you want, pretty much you can get.
Is Rita still here, Scott? Is Rita's?
I don't think Rita's is.
Okay.
Here.
We did pass a Rita's.
Yeah, we saw a Rita's.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah. There's.
Oh, I thought you meant the ballpark.
Yeah.
But we have Rita's here.
Yeah. I didn't know they were in Clearwater.
Yep. They are. There's one location right down the road.
Okay.
The original Hooters, correct?
That's correct.
Correct. Yep. There's no Hooters like the original.
Are the original girls at the original Hooters? I do have it in a sweetheart.
I passed by a bar last night.
You staring at my knockers, aren't you?
It was called Bushwhackers, and it was one of the like Bushwhacker Jim or whatever from
my
the WWF. Is that owned by one of the Bushwhackers from the WWF?
It probably is, and I'll say this is because there's a huge WWE contingency down here.
Well, yeah, Hulk Hogan.
Hulk lives down here, but the training school was here. So the area that they trained in was here for a really long time. So you'd go to the gym and you would see all these pro wrestlers all the time. Batista used to go to my gym all the time. All these guys, and you're walking in and going, oh my gosh, and you realize this is the big WWE spot.
Yeah. Scott, I want to ask you because you've done the Granny Grand Prix with us so many times over the years,
and we never killed a granny yet.
Not one.
We came close.
Did you get a lot of your training by being in Florida and seeing people with their left turn signal on?
I just make sure it's not mine.
Okay.
First of all, Nick, and also to look at the silver alerts. I'm really happy when it's not the car I'm driving.
Good. All right. Good. Hey, you and I were chit-chatting a little bit earlier.
Chitting and chatting.
But I just got a text from my wife. She echoed what I was talking to you about. Your son is a correspondent, a reporter for the NFL Network, and she said, tell you that your son is awesome, that we love
him. Really
and
nice
he's
thing.
Doing a really, really great job. James, right?
James, and he
James
loves
Palmer
it.
James Palmer is working for the NFL Network, and he's just crushing it.
He got the ultimate thrill. He got to do the parade. He followed the Eagles all the way through the postseason, and then along with Colleen Wolf, another Philadelphian, got to do the parade. You know, it's funny. He said, I didn't really realize that we had won our first Super Bowl until I was there in the steps of the Art Museum, and Meryl Reese said, we're the Super Bowl champions. He said, then it sunk in. Man. Not until Meryl told him.
Right.
So does your son work with Colleen?
Yes. Yeah, they did the parade
okay,
together.
Then I know exactly who your son is. I follow her. I worked with her back at Sportsnet.
Sure.
And
sure.
I'm like, she's doing so amazing.
She's
but crushing. I didn't
she's
realize
a
that
great
was your
talent,
son.
Too. Yeah, no question. That's very nice. Thank you.
Yeah, so I but I do have that like weird realization every now and again. I'm like, what? the Eagles won the Super Bowl.
I still wake up sometimes. Like,
really? Even yeah. though you've watched the game 15 times by now? He has rewound it and watched it. And you too, Jameson?
Same exact thing. Yeah. I go, oh my, yeah, we did win it. I still do. I literally did that the other day.
Yeah. It's I texted my awesome. Brothers.
Well, you're so used to saying one day.
Yeah.
One day.
And now, I mean, it is legit.
Yeah.
You know, I have woken up too many times for this to be a dream.
Right.
You know
right. It has to happen. Yeah. We have to. This isn't an alternate universe we're in. I think we actually did win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were talking about the fact that, you know, we've talked about it, mentioned it a number of times today, that can be contagious to the other teams in town. Are you feeling that vibe here?
There's no question. Look at the Sixers on the move. Yeah, yeah. The Flyers put a nice little winning streak together, getting ready for the playoffs. And Gabe Kapler, our new manager, the first night, he kind of rented out a restaurant to give inspirational speeches, and he showed highlights of the Eagles Super Bowl, of Claude Giroux scoring, of Ben Simmons, and it was just one of those things. And he has really made it clear to the guys that if they take the same approach the Eagles do, everybody in that room is there for one reason. We're all there for each other, and we all have to take a little step forward, the same way the Eagles did. He's talked about the birds more than once, and it's kind of exciting
great.
Our players.
That's Love awesome. It.
Wow. Excellent. Well, great to see both of you guys here. Appreciate it. Jameson. It's been a long time. It's really, really good to see you.
I'll see you in another 8 years, guys.
Yeah.
Maybe next year.
We're hoping to make this an annual event. We'll see, because this is a lot of fun. And I'm excited to go to the games today and tomorrow.
So I hope so. Cool.
Good luck with that first pitch.
Great to see you. Thank you. I'm throwing out the first pitch today. I got to go warm up. We should
thank our sponsor of the morning.
Yes. Yeah. Winter Airport Parking.
Oh, my. What a godsend yesterday.
And in fact, we stopped at the airport. We all dropped off our cars. I'm getting Kathy and I are both getting detailed jobs. They'll do that and an oil change and all this stuff. They'll do inspections. And so when you come back for your trip, all that stuff's done. They're phenomenal.
Yeah. All of that. They eliminate all that crap. But the thing is, the guys that I've always encountered, now sometimes I'll drop it off or sometimes I'll do the curbside. But the truth of the matter is that the attitude, the smile, they're all very pleasant. It's a great experience.
And, you know, we were running a little behind, not Pierre behind, but just, you know, we had to get there quickly. So to be able to pull up curbside right where you check in and have them take your car is so much easier than having to deal with going to park somewhere.
Yes, check them out. Winter Airport Parking, our fine sponsor of this broadcast. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back in a moment. We're not done with our guests. No. We've still got more people to talk to. B-Files coming up, too. We'll be back. We're live. I burped. We're in Clearwater, Florida. It's spring training on MMR.
Throughout 2018, MMR celebrates 50 years rockin' Philly. Keep listening for special birthday events and special programming from our long, strange trip together. Every hour this weekend, we highlight 1984, the year MMR turned 16, and the year that gave us This Is Spinal Tap.
These count to 11.
The first commercial CD players, Purple Rain, and Legend from Bob Marley and the Wailers. While Ghostbusters, The Terminator, and The Karate Kid kicked butt on the movie scene. At MMR, the DJs had new albums from Van Halen, The Pretenders, and U2. Plus Twisted Sister, Bruce Springsteen, Talking Heads, Metallica, Queen, and debuts from Bon Jovi and Red Hot Chili Peppers, and lots, lots more from 1984. Listen all weekend as we highlight another page from our scrapbook of shared musical memories. On 93.3 WMMR, everything that's rocked Philly for 50 amazing years.
We're sitting up in left field, and right behind us is a practice area, a couple of fields, and the team is out. They are going through their stretching and calisthenics and all that stuff and kind of getting warmed up. They were throwing the ball around a little bit. And this is wild to me because this time of year, I'm not used to seeing ball players. And here we are right in the thick of it, Kat.
And it's got to be a 9:30 call time because at 9:29, every single one of them walked out of the clubhouse. Yep.
That's when they made it out there. Casey asked, because Casey's in full uniform. They gave him a uniform.
Go over.
He almost walked out there.
Wow.
He was going to go out there.
I'm wearing white pinstripes. They're wearing their gray pants. If I was wearing gray pants, I might have done it.
You should have just said, you could have turned to the guy next to you and said, they lost my luggage. I just got out here.
I'm from Ecuador.
Yeah. Some of these guys are wearing the whites over here. They're not pinstripes, though, are they? No.
They are all, I guess, they're doing their calisthenics. And
everything.
I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to do that. No.
Listen, I'm all for playing for the team, but I'm not very physically adept.
No. Just let me know when you guys start throwing the ball.
Yeah. Are there any things that I would be good at?
Hey, listen, here's what I'd like to do. We have another guest we're going to talk to, but we do need to do the bizarre file, so I want to do that first. So why don't we, if you would, Jason, fire that up, please?
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, and this morning it is brought to you by Godshall's Turkey Bacon. When you buy bacon, remember Godshall's packs this much flavor to 94% fat-free and made at facilities powered by 4,000 solar panels. Let's start with this one. Steve, I got a Long Island story for you. How about that?
Yeah.
Parents of a child were arrested for criminal trespassing after demanding answers as to how their son was exposed to pornography on a school computer. So the parents got arrested.
They got arrested.
What?
Administrators said that they were unable to provide them with an incident report as the matter was under investigation, so the family refused to leave the property until they were given one. And well, that's when they called the police.
It's
they
were a crime
arrested.
On Long Island if you do not expose your child to the proper amount of porn at the right age.
Uh-huh.
I know, growing up, especially in Suffolk County, you should have seen 9 to 10 adult films by the time you're 10.
Gregory and Kristen Petrie said, why would you have the parents taken away in handcuffs when they're trying to discuss a serious issue with you?
Why don't you suck my ass?
That's what the principal said.
I'll tell you why. Suck my ass. Get him out of here!
That sounds about
accurate. Get out of here! Dumbass.
Kristen said that last week...
We're trying to do arithmetic and crap like that.
Kristen said last Wednesday her third grade son was doing a science report on a computer at Parliament Place Elementary School when a boy next to him started looking at pornographic images, and he came home and told his parents about it.
Yeah, what was he looking at?
Kristen said
You like that babysitter stuff? Me too.
She immediately... went to the
class, that's the principal
classroom, accompanied by the school's principal, and was able to look at a dozen pornographic images on a computer right there.
Wow.
The superintendent, Glenn Esbach, released a statement to parents saying that it was determined that our filtering system had failed to properly block a specific website. The district immediately put additional internet safety precautions in place that would prevent access to this site and any of its nature. Please know that the well-being of our students is our utmost concern. And this is not the first time that this has happened. Another mother said a similar incident happened to her son last year at the school, but she said her son was watching a PowerPoint presentation in a class when a pornographic ad popped up on the screen.
Oh, it happened to your son too? Suck my ass.
So they are investigating that. Let's see. Ever wish you could spend the night in a huge anus? Or even drink wine?
Hey, kids, we're going on a field trip.
Even drink wine in a big butt. Well, now it's time. In Belgium, a Dutch artist has built an entire hotel in the shape of an anus in a field. Joseph Van Lieshu,
yes,
has called his bizarre creation Casanus Hotel.
Casanus Hotel.
Or maybe it's like Casa Anus Hotel.
Oh.
And even includes a sculpture of a giant intestine complete with veins.
Nice.
There's even a bed, a shower, central heating, and guests can stay the night at the exhibit at the Verbeek Sculpture Park.
The place is very popular. I have guests coming out the ass.
What?
That's good.
Wine tasting has already been organized in the hotel, with visitors being urged to taste glasses of Emilia Romagna. Guests can spend the night in the hotel and one of its bedrooms. The event organizer, Alice Brown, said after...
Alice Brown works at the Anus Hotel?
Yeah. After 10 years of organizing classic wine tastings, often very boring for both wine producers and visitors, we started thinking of different ways of experimenting. The Sculpture Park attracts over 20,000 visitors a year and is home to hundreds of weird and wonderful pieces of art. The Hotel Casanus is the latest attraction.
It's right across from the Butthole Arms.
A price has not yet been put on the giant anus.
I'll tell you this. I would skip the Anus Hotel, but one hotel I've always wanted to stay at, and I don't know, there's probably more than one, when they sculpt that hotel out of ice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The ice hole.
Yeah, the ice hole. When I went to, and by the way, that's your bizarre file. When I went to Norway.
Did you see one of those hotels?
No, we were there in the summer.
Okay.
But the town that we were in was famous for their elaborate ice hotel.
And it's my understanding that they will have, fireplaces and things that you would assume would melt the hotel, but they can...
Not in your room, but you have to be... you have to be very well blanketed and not well endowed. I'm
big
sorry.
Is your penis, sir?
7 inches or larger only.
You're going to need to wrap it around yourself.
Only they do it in centimeters. There. Yeah. All right, anyhow, that's your bizarre file. And that's for another time. We have a guest who's standing here.
It's more for school.
Yeah. Our buddy, our good friend is here, and it's always great to see him, and it's wonderful to see him in this environment. First time we broadcast live from here. Greg Murphy, NBC Yay! Sports Philadelphia.
Thank you, guys.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Welcome.
Thank you. Welcome down. Oh, man, it's
this
great.
This isn't bad, right?
No, it's very, very cool.
You've been here for a month, you said, Greg?
I have.
Yeah, yeah.
I got here 29 days ago.
Yeah.
And, we've had some warm weather. I know you guys are getting a little bit of a chilly weather.
Yeah, but, a little weird.
Yeah, but it's going to be pretty nice today. You'll be good.
So you and Brazier and Scott Palmer and all these other people we met, you're down here for a month or so. How much of this is work and how much of this is just not work?
Well, let's see. We do all the home games on NBC, so we work about every other day.
Oh,
yeah. I think we've done about 12 games so far.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good schedule.
I mean, you've got the whole season ahead of you, but this is nice, right?
This is pretty nice. Once the season starts, we're pretty much every day, going every single day.
Yeah. But kind of giving you sort of the way we do prep work for a show. You're meeting players and you're forging relationships and things that are going to serve you throughout the season.
Right. We're easing our way into
easing your way into it.
You don't want to just jump right into it. Right?
Hey, when you're on the road during the regular season, Greg, I would like for you to name your favorite city and ballpark to visit and your least favorite city and ballpark.
Well, my favorite city is probably San Francisco and the ballpark out there, AT&T Park. If you've never been there, it is pretty spectacular.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm taking Fenway and Wrigley out of it because those are just special in and of itself. But out of the new ballparks, AT&T Park in San Francisco, it's always packed. They have great fans there. They've had pretty good teams over the last couple of years. It's right on the water. It's just gorgeous.
I hear it's a city by the bay.
I did hear that. I read that somewhere. So that's great. And the worst is probably Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
There's just nothing going on in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
The ballpark is fine. The ballpark's nice enough. But
yeah, but you're also there for days at a time too. I mean, this is not like any other sport. You guys go and it's 3-4 games.
Right. Which is actually a good thing. I mean, we travel a lot, but we get there, we get into the hotel, we relax for a little bit, we work for a couple of days, and then we leave. Whereas other, sports teams, in one day, out the next.
Yeah.
And that makes it a little bit more difficult. So,
can I have your job when you are dead?
Yeah, when I'm dead, you can have it. Yeah.
You said that with an accent.
Can I have
your job when you are dead?
You are dead?
Greg, excluding Citizens Bank Park, where's the best food?
The best food? Oh, wow, that's a great question. So no one's ever asked
you. You're basically giving us travel advice.
Yeah, I work for the Travel Channel, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Best food is probably Chicago. They have great food.
Well, right now, it started about maybe 10 years ago, and maybe John can commiserate or corroborate this as well, but the gourmet food in stadiums became
a real
mission and to lay claim to the best food. And now I think you have a number of stadiums that can boast competitive food.
Yeah, not only great food, but also like bizarre food as well.
Yeah, bizarre food.
People are going for some strange stuff, and I've eaten a lot of it along the way.
Preston has done his research.
I have a list of new items available at Citizens Bank Park this year.
Oh, I can't wait to hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
Wait. Do they still have the Schmitter?
They got rid of it?
Yeah, that's gone, right?
Oh, that was
gone?
That's too
Preston,
bad.
I think I can do this right. Let's see. We're trying different effects and things here. Preston will now present a list of new food items available at Citizens Bank Park.
That's hard to do,
well
isn't
done.
It?
Because of the delay,
it's
extraordinarily annoying. It's like the voice jammer, but I'm trying.
You did good.
Did good.
Thank you, Kathy. You're going to get a big, long, lingering hug from me.
If I were to do it, it would sound like I'm drunk.
You would sound drunk.
Yes.
So you are not.
All right. I do. Is Jameson leaving?
Yes.
Is Jameson leaving?
Stop it.
Jameson Mueller leaving the ballpark.
He wanted to give Casey a kiss.
No. Successful broadcast career here in Florida.
All right.
Go forever.
So here we go. Aramark.
Preston is
shut up. Aramark, of course, the food and beverage partner, and therefore eight different teams in the league, revealed some new items. So at Citizens Bank Park, you will be able to have the smoked Brisket Taco Trio.
Okay, you have me a taco.
I'm intrigued.
Which is Aramark's new signature taco series.
I used to watch that series, Signature Tacos.
So it's house-smoked brisket topped with jalapenos, cilantro, crema, queso fresco, sliced radishes in corn tortillas.
All right, where?
I don't know. John, you have any idea where that stuff's happening? No.
He's all over the ballpark.
He's eating healthier these days.
Yeah. In the sandwiches and Frank's category.
Okay.
Who calls them Frank's?
No one.
All right. crispy chicken sandwich. Fried chicken topped with tomato bacon jam, roasted shaved Brussels sprouts, and Vermont white cheddar. Cheese on a brioche bun.
That sounds good too.
That sounds really good.
It's called a crispy chicken sandwich.
They put Brussels sprouts on there to kind of add a little bit of health.
You know what though?
That's right.
If you fry up Brussels sprouts or grill them,
dude, they're yummy.
Excellent.
Phenomenal. Mm-hmm.
So that's a crispy chicken sandwich. And then for Marissa, the vegan cauliflower cheesesteak is the new option on the health conscious
menu. What do
menu.
They use to replicate like Hip City Veg uses a type of what do they use to replicate chicken, Marissa, that tastes so much like chicken?
Do you have any idea, Marissa?
Duck.
No, I think it's Satan.
Satan. Have you guys ever had, not the guy who fights God. We're talking about Satan. Yeah. Like, I've had Satan.
I mistook it for meat. I literally thought that it was chicken.
The best chicken sandwich I ever had no chicken in it. It was that Satan.
Yeah, but I'm excited that the ballpark is having I can't say cauliflower well. Cauliflower.
Cauliflower.
Cauliflower. Yeah, see, I always say it wrong.
Not cauliflower.
Oh,
cauliflower.
I don't say it like that.
Cauliflower.
Wait, I say cauliflower.
Cauliflower.
What do you think of Broccoli?
All right. Cauliflower.
Anyway.
Anyway.
One last thing, and then back to Greg Murray.
Back to Greg. Damn.
I'm sorry, Greg.
It's an insult.
Hey, you're making me hungry.
It's a legend.
And then they have a dessert, Jane Doe. Which is an edible cookie dough. When is there ever a non-edible cookie dough?
Oh, well,
it doesn't have eggs in it.
Yeah.
It doesn't have eggs in it.
You know, I was telling you about
that
store.
At home anyway.
There was there's a store in New York that there's a line down the street for it,
mm-hmm.
and it's all different kinds of cookie doughs.
Okay.
Casey, we have them in Philly now, too.
We do.
Do we?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'll give you a list.
All right.
They used to have something that was not successful. It was John Doe, and it was an inverted homeless person. They would shave like a year old.
Oh,
and it was just... and then they said no. No.
I mean, they thought because he didn't have a name.
Right. And this man.
Who's going to miss him?
And he
right?
was loved at some point.
Then they realize people don't eat.
Have you had a John Doe?
That guy had a mom.
An inverted homeless man that they would shave like a year old. Right? Dear God.
That's a John Doe sandwich.
All right, anyhow, it's available. The Jane Doe cookie dough is available with or without soft serve and toppings. So that's some of the new food items that'll be available at the Citizens Bank Park.
I like a good old-fashioned hot dog, sure. Right?
Yeah. That is the standard. If you're going to go, and I would rate the Citizens Bank ballpark, the hot dog.
Phillies Frank.
As a champ. Yeah,
hey, Greg, how many years have you been coming down here?
This is my seventh year with the team.
Okay.
I've been covering the Phils for years and years, seventh year with the team, yeah.
Okay, and then so what's your go-to thing that all right, going to Clearwater, got to do this, got to do that, got to do this. Anything in particular?
You know, the restaurants down here are great. So, you know, and there's a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Too many to name, probably. But, you know, the schedule down here, as we talked about, is kind of lax, so... We do a lot of day drinking and, you know, testing out different little places. And we golf a lot. We do a little golf as well. And hit the restaurants at night. So.
You go out and fish or do anything adventurous like that?
We were supposed to fish. We've had one day of rain since I've been here. One day in 29 days.
It's been the day that we were supposed complete to opposite fish. Of
yeah.
Up in Philly. It's been
I know.
Well, are you getting on your bike at all and getting ready for the tour to shore?
No, the bike didn't. I was going to ride down here to Clearwater, but I decided to fly down instead. So, the bike didn't make it down. So,
The tour to shore now, you can join teams.
Yeah. Registration is open.
Team WMMR Rock and Rollers. We're looking for riders. Last year we crushed it. We had more. I think we had 76 team members last year. Raised over $20,000.
Yeah, you guys killed it. It was great.
Yeah, we're looking to beat what we did last year. And I know you guys have a team.
Yeah, Team Murphy as well. Open registration. So get on the website and join us. And it's always a great day, as you know. So.
If you follow me on Twitter, I have a pinned tweet where you can sign up for our team there. I don't know how if you want to join
pinned
Greg's.
Tweet. I don't even know how to do that.
Yeah, me neither.
That sounds painful.
You got to spread your butt cheeks.
It's a tweet at the top of your personal page that never, it's always at the top. It'll stay there the whole time. Look, I knew something you guys didn't know.
That's social media. One thing I did want to ask about that, how do we go about getting certified for our...
I don't know.
So I think Twitter right now, for some reason, has stopped certifying.
Huh.
Oh, the really? Little blue check?
No, they were making it easier, I heard. Marissa, get over here. There's a microphone over here. She was
or
about
should
to...
we say Catwoman?
Yeah. Hold with on her, a second. She cool knows shades. Everything.
Number one is called Verified, not Certified.
Okay. Verified.
Right. They don't like radio people. They like every television news anchor join in the world.
I mean, even weekend guys.
Yeah, the newspaper people, they get it. Radio people, nothing.
Yeah. Burf Dangle, who
even
does
field
the,
reporters, yes. The lowest of the low.
But did you hear that they stopped verifying? Because so Natalie, who works for our station, does work for a radio station. She is verified, but she told me that they're not doing it. There's some I forget the reason why, but they've stopped.
Natalie
verifying.
from the fanatic.
Yeah.
Fanatic.
Yeah. Interesting.
That's because she's attractive.
Yeah, she is. Well, speaking of attractive, Greg Murphy, you guys, and social media,
thank
too,
you.
Actually, I wanted to bring this up because NBC Sports Philadelphia and you in particular do a fantastic job on
well,
social media.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And I love following those accounts because if I'm unable to watch a game, no matter what the sport is, it's really well documented. John Clark does an awesome job, but the NBC Sports Philly corporate account, I guess if you want to call it that, for Instagram and Twitter, are both really well done. And and I'm not saying this as a plug. I'm just saying because it's legit. It's the best way to get local sports.
You know what? It really is. And you guys know. I mean, it's just another element to what we all do and how you can touch, you know, the listeners for you guys, the viewers for us, and get a chance to interact with them a little bit. So, yeah, I know we certainly put a big emphasis on it, and we try to do our best.
You know,
the one thing
you have to do, which is always difficult, is something that you have to strike that balance, is you don't want to subtract from the viewing experience of the game. You don't want to tip a hand.
You're right.
Someone who's DVR'd something or whatever. You don't. You know, all these things are in play, and you got to be very.
Yeah, but you know what? Like that is on the viewer. Then you know, because if you know, for instance, when the Eagles were playing the Falcons in the playoffs, I had to coach my son's basketball team. I left my phone at home.
Yeah.
I actually announced to the basketball gym, if you know what the score is, please don't tell me. You know, have your conversations when I'm not around, and you can do your part to
your due diligence
to not spoil anything. By the way, guys, I don't know if you noticed this, but the players on the field are wearing white pinstripes.
Yeah, so those are the big league players.
Should
over
I go over there right
now?
No,
you're a big leaguer because you got the white pants on. So these are our minor league guys back here. These are the big leaguers over here.
Let
that
me
are
ask
play
you,
today.
How many guys in? I mean, are here sporting the uniform?
I don't know the exact number. If I had to guess, I would say close to 300.
300?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're talking about four or five different levels of minor leaguers that have gotten down here. And then these guys just arrived within the last week or so.
How many single-A teams are there? Because there's the Clearwater Threshers, right?
Right, and then there's Lakewood. There's a couple of different levels. You know, there's low-A, there's high-A.
I didn't realize that there was that many levels.
And you know, there's short season. There's, you know, so there's lots of different places that these young guys can go. Some of these guys out here are as young as, you know, 16, 17, 18 that have come from other countries. So, you know, they're all getting their work.
Casey and I last night were talking with John Brasher about Mickey Moniak, who is the number one draft pick 2 years ago, right?
Yep.
And so he is projected to be a double A this season, maybe triple A
I think we'll see him at both. You know, depending, you know, it'll be up to him, obviously, but I think he'll probably start probably at double A. And then if he plays well, we'll see him up at triple A. So, you know, there's so many young players that the Phillies are hoping to see move through the system in the next year or two or three to help the big league club coming forward. So we're excited.
Away from baseball, you met Hulk Hogan the other day?
I did.
How is that?
A mountain of a man?
Mountain of a man. Apparently, though, he has shrunk a couple of inches over the last couple of years. You get older, I guess, one of these days, perhaps he'll shrink a little bit.
Yeah,
you know, I'm starting to shrink, I think. But what a great guy.
Yeah.
He could not have been more cordial to the fans. He was taking pictures with everybody, sat with us for a while, did our interview. We had a lot of fun with
him. We've had him on. We never had him in the studio, but we've interviewed a few times. Always a great interview. Kathy, you were a huge Hulk Hogan fan, were you not?
Growing up,
Yeah.
And he just,
absolutely.
He was that larger than life. Every once in a while, people become ambassadors, and he was one early.
He still is. And you'll see him walking down the street in Clearwater.
Really?
Yeah. He's around. He's at the mall.
I saw him at the airport one time here.
Yeah.
So going through security.
And if you do see him, he's one of those guys, you know, feel free to walk right up because he loves it.
Oh, really?
Cool. Yeah, he does. That's awesome.
Nice.
Yeah.
Excellent. Greg Murphy, same way, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. Come say hi.
Get a picture.
Bandana looks great today.
But by the way, is everyone going to have a beer out of Kathy's boot before you guys
guys.
That's what you...
shoot the boot.
I didn't even think of that. We got to do that.
Yeah.
We got to shoot the boot. Kathy's bum leg. I love it. All right, Greg, great to see you, man.
Good to see you guys.
We'll,
thanks so
we'll
much.
Hopefully spend some time with you later on. Greg Murphy, NBC Yay, Sports Philadelphia. And with that, we'll take one more quick break. They're starting to, the barbacks are showing up. Starting to stock Frenchies over here in left field if you're on the way to the game for some reason. You're streaming us. Please come by and see us. We're going to have a little sit around when the doors open here at about 30 minutes. We'll take a break live from Clearwater and Spectrum Field in just a moment on MMR.
Become an MMR VIP. Get early access to concert pre-sales, special deals, and VIP-only contests. You'll get our newsletter about twice a month, most of which you'll find worthwhile. Sign up now at WMMR.com.
Hey!
Hey!
93.3 WMMR, it's Everything Rocks. I didn't hear Jason telling me that we were going live on the air, so I have a mouthful of Wawa grapes and cheese. Let me get that out of my cheeks and gum here real quick. It is 10:15.
Excuse us.
You're going to need to give me a minute.
Okay.
Here, let me help.
Trust me, you don't want me to sit here and talk.
Well, Preston is unable to hawk.
I'm not going to hawk at all. All right, so it is 10:15 on this Friday morning, the President and Steve Show, and we are in Clearwater, Florida, and we're at Spectrum Field, and we're having a damn good time today. We are going to get to our regular features in a second, but before we do, I want to thank our sponsor, Winter Airport Parking.
Oh, man.
For helping make this trip possible. And, of course, they did assisted in, you know, getting us our cars taken care of when we stopped over the airport. It's fantastic. You stop in, drop off, you can get a curbside, and they'll just take your car for you. And then when you return, give them a quick call. When you get off the plane, boom, your car's right there ready to
get the app.
Yeah.
The app makes it so something that's incredibly easy to begin with. The app is a godsend.
Winter Airport Parking. So what I'd like to do is today's lesson question. Nick, do you have some questions available?
Yes, I do.
All right, so let me also pull up our prize, and I'm sorry I didn't have this ready to go, but our prize today is going to be tickets to see Buck Cherry at the Block at Harrah's on Saturday, April 14th. So the question today, please, Nick.
I apologize for the vulgarity of this question. The Long Island principal responded to the parents who showed their child some pornography by telling them to suck his what?
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right, suck my what? 215-263-WMMR. That was in the Bizarre File story about a Long Island elementary school principal. 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. And while you are calling in, we are going to do the trash. So here we go.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, and this morning's brought to you by Robbins Diamonds in tax-free Delaware with thousands of rings and self-serve cases and absolutely no sales tax versus the 8% tax in Philly. Robbins Delaware Diamonds. What's going on, Steve?
Well, a former Angel and Corey Feldman's band suing him for failure to pay $8,000 in wages owed to her. Margot Lane is also accusing Feldman of fraud, saying he consistently attempts to pass himself off as someone who has talent. It's a big issue with
yep.
it. So, get this, Preston. This will blow your mind. 72-year-old hit wonder... 70-year-old two-hit wonder Don McLean dating 24-year-old Playboy model
what?
Paris Dillon. And she's a knockout. Dillon says she's tired of people asking her why she's with McLean, but does admit that until last week she thought he was Billy Joel.
Okay.
It's understandable.
And finally, a number of celebrities coming forward, including Olivia Munn, saying they will no longer fly United Airlines in light of recent issues with the dog dying in the overhead compartment and another dog getting shipped to the wrong location. United says it's committed to making substantive changes and will return to doing what they do best, which is dragging people off of flights.
They do.
And that's your Hollywood trash.
All right. Thank you very much, Steve. We're going to go to the phone, see if we can get an answer to today's lesson question. In the Bizarre File story, there was a Long Island principal that told the parents to suck his what? 215-263-WMMR is the number. Let me try this phone line, see if we can get ourselves an answer. I'm going to go to Rob. Hey, Rob, can you hear me? Rob, are you there, sir?
All right, I can't speak to Rob, but I see he's on the phone line, and he does have the correct answer, and that would be my ass.
Yeah!
And you got it right, Rob. Congratulations. Yeah. Hang on the line. We'll get your information back at the studio, and we are going to give you tickets to see Buck Cherry at the Block at Harrah's Philadelphia Saturday, March 14th. Tickets are on sale now at harrahsphilly.com. Let's do music news, please.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR. Yeah!
I just realized I don't have music news.
You don't?
No, I don't. I tried to.
Do the B file again.
But no, wait, here we go. All right, it just came up. Because I was I was having issues with the Wi-Fi, and normally I have stuff printed out and I do my work on paper, but I've got it electronically.
Where's that sound coming from?
And I got it now. It's brought to you by Delilah's. Delilah's presents 2018 Entertainer of the Year, Wednesday, March 21st, with special guest host Brett Rossi. Visit Delilah's.com.
There's nothing on here.
For details. Now, I haven't read any of these.
Okay.
I have no idea.
Well, it'll be news to you as well, and we'll get to see it through your eyes.
It will. Queens of the Stone Age, The Killers, Coldplay, Mumford & Sons are among the acts that are paying tribute to Elton John on a new collection called Revamp and Restoration. The two-disc set will be broken up between rock and pop artists on the revamp half and country artists on the restoration side. Others contributing Elton factors, or covers, I should say, to the April 6th release include Miley Cyrus, Lady Gaga, Q-Tip, Ed Sheeran, Willie Nelson, Don Henley, and more.
Did you see that footage of Elton John at his residency in Las Vegas? He would routinely invite people up to stand around the piano when I think he sang Crocodile Rock.
Yep.
And they started crowding him, and he went out of his mind.
Saturday Night's All Right for fighting his song. Well, no, the problem was somebody started banging on the piano.
Oh, is that it?
They started playing on the piano. Right. He asked the guy to stop. The guy did it again. Elton stopped the show and said, "I'm never going to do this again." You know, he said, "It's a lot of fun, but I'm not going to have this happen." So he bailed on it. By the
idiot.
Way, quit who?
The guy.
Oh, the guy. Yeah. Elton John. What an idiot. Queens of the Stone Age performed its cover of Goodbye Yellow Brick Road on stage in February at the Forum in Los Angeles, so I don't know if they'll be handling that or not. But Coldplay is taking on We All Fall in Love Sometimes, while the Killers do Mona Lisa's and Mad Hatters, which is a great song. Did we almost have a ball hit us? Okay.
Awesome.
Mumford & Sons are doing Someone Save My Life Tonight. God, do I love that song. And Florence and the Machine take on Tiny Dancer as well.
Another great song.
There'd be some good ones.
Somebody doing Benny and the Jets?
Maybe, but I don't have the full list of who's doing what. Let's see. Nope, don't want to do that. Well, wait a minute.
Well, yeah. I think you want to do it now.
Well, you know what? We had Skillet in the studio one time, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, they were nice guys. Skillet drummer Jen Ledger is going to release her first solo EP titled Ledger on April 13th through Hear It Loud, a label imprint launched by Skillet frontman John Cooper and his wife, Skillet keyboardist Corey Cooper. They were a lot of fun. I really liked those guys.
Yeah.
Was she the one with the purple hair?
Yeah, yes, okay, that's her.
And yeah, she was cool.
Cute, too. Yeah, Ledger told Billboard about the project. I feel I've just been growing and changing all over the past few years, and I feel that the time is now. It just feels like everything is lined up all at once. It's super exciting because it's a little bit of destiny at the moment. Oh, they're doing batting practice. I was wondering why there was a ball flying over this way. Oh, my God. Yeah, did you hear that? Rodney's got the mic hooked up, so we should be able to hear the...
You can hear the crack
of the bat when they hit. Oh, my God, this is so cool. All right. Anyhow, what else did I hear?
We're safe. The crack of the bat.
Let's see. Nine Inch Nails. Trent Reznor said in a BBC radio interview on Thursday that a new Nine Inch Nails EP will be released sometime before mid-June. No title or specific release date was provided for the EP, which is the third in a trilogy that started with 2016's Not the Actual Events and continued with 2017's Add Violence. So there will be... Ow! New music. And you know what? I'm just going to wrap up music news right there. That's all we need for now.
That's really all we need.
Yeah, the MMR 1984 weekend is upon us.
Yes, I did.
A great year.
I touched on that earlier. And so we're going to be featuring the year 1984 all weekend long. Listen for music that was released in that year. And also listen for, you know, moments in MMR's history in 1984. It's just one of the years that we're celebrating 50 years. Here comes a long one.
Boom!
Oh, hit the tiki bar.
Off the roof.
Hit Frenchie's. Nice. Hey, before we move on with anything else, Brazier. Hey, get over here on the microphone. We haven't talked to you once today, man. We talked to so many people, and the guy that was instrumental in getting us out here is their very own master of fun and games, Mr. John Brazier. Hey, dude, how you doing?
Guys? Hey, this is a lot of fun. I'm really glad. Hopefully this will be an annual tradition going forward, but... it really has. All the guys I've brought up here, when I walked them down, they said, man, I love those guys.
Dude, wow. Did you see where that landed?
Yeah.
That landed right behind Marissa.
Jason is protecting us, by the way. And we have one more surprise. So we already said.
One more surprise?
You know, this morning you had Gabe, obviously invited you, Preston, to throw out the first pitch.
Yes.
We had Casey, obviously, take little BP. We have one surprise for Nick. Nick, we got to include you.
DP for Nick.
Yes.
EP.
EP.
No, DP. DP as a double anyway.
Wow. Yeah, no. For you, Nick.
No, what
Nick.
Is it?
So, Nick, in the fifth inning, we are actually going to switch pants because Nick has to wear khakis because he's going to go out there as a fake security guard, and the Fanatic will be dressed up as Chubby Checker.
Yes!
And he's going to be doing the twist, and Nick's going to have to pretend he's a security guard. Then he's going to dance. Then he's going to have to go back into his security guard role.
I've seen this routine. So you have to keep a straight face the whole
time,
right?
Yes, you have to keep a straight face. But the problem is, again, Nick was supposed to wear
Hold on. Nick is a long one.
Supposed to wear khakis, but he didn't bring khakis. So, and we're almost the same size. I'm a little bigger. but is it a little skeevy that I'm going to be wearing his jeans?
Yes, it will.
And he's going to be wearing my khakis?
What'll be more skeevy is the 20 minutes you're going to spend sniffing them afterwards. that's a classic routine now,
I get
right?
to go out on the field with Fanatic, man. You know,
and that's so cool.
This has been a great morning for us. It's been so much fun. Every guest has been fantastic. So thank you so much for all your help leading. I mean, this was an idea that we've had for a long time, but we really started working on it in earnest after Camp Out for Hunger because Gabe Kapler was such a great guest then, too. So it's just been, and it started with Gabe at 6:15 this morning, and it's been going throughout the day. So thank you.
And I love my surprise early when I showed up here and it was 32 degrees.
That was a nice surprise.
That was really playing that for you, Steve.
Thank you so much.
And I'm also taking you guys to dinner tonight at my favorite restaurant down here. It's called Columbia. Mm. It is a Cuban restaurant right across the street from your hotel.
Oh.
How many times do you have to say Columbia before we get to comp that dinner?
Yeah.
Well, it's on the Phillies.
Okay.
Nice. You can order what you want. There's sangria. You got a little paella if you want.
Nick's pulling the menu up online right now.
What's that raw fish stuff called?
Ceviche. Yeah, excellent.
Really good.
Awesome. Thank you, John Brazier. We love you.
All right, thank you, guys.
Master of fun and games with the Phillies, John
Brazier. Ask him about that elephant stunt he arranged one time. It was incredible.
Dude, we almost got out of the break without mentioning that.
John had hired him. It's an incredible thing. The crowd still talks about it. He paid a porn star to finish off on an elephant's back. It was amazing.
You know what's funny? I was telling somebody, I forget who, and maybe Nick, I said, I think I've been going on with you guys longer than any other station. It's my 25th year in baseball.
Is that right?
And Preston, when you were with DRE, that was...
I was only in town maybe 3 or 4 months, and I met John. Yeah, and we came out to the ballpark.
Yep.
So
I've also cursed the most of anybody on WMMR. Right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to add to that total today.
What concert was it at the end?
Coldplay.
It was Coldplay.
Yeah.
F-ing awesome.
Well, I blame Matt Cord on that one. Matt Cord should have known my state.
All right, thanks, John.
All right, thank you, guys.
Appreciate it. All right, with that, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back in a second. We'll get the letter of the day. Word of the week. Fry is going to give it away. Pierre will take over from here, but we're live in Clearwater, Florida for Philly spring training. Be back in a minute on MMR.
Peek behind the radio curtain with the MMR studio webcam. Available at PresidentSteve.com or via the MMR mobile app. See occasional hotties, famous faces, and if you're lucky, monkeys riding border collies.
93.3 WMMR. That's new music from Muse. It's called Thought Contagion. And funky little tune there. 10:38 with the President and Steve Show. And we are at Spectrum Field in Clearwater, Florida. We are in left field, to be more specific, hovering right above the bullpen and watching players do batting practice right now. Had a few balls come precariously close to us. Actually, one bounced right behind Marissa a little while ago in that last break. But doors are officially open. And Steve, look at all the fans starting to work their way in.
So
jockey
cool.
for position. Find a good spot. We're right next to Frenchie's Tiki Bar.
Which, by the way, the balls are rocketing off the roof of that one.
And we've already had, our serial hugger. Here comes a woman. She's really into hugs. And the fans are starting to show up. It's really awesome. Case, you get a chance to run into anybody yet?
Just a couple of people. I met a young girl. Forgot her name already.
Yep.
Casey girl is actually on
her way here as well. She was some breakfast at Lenny's.
Old intern at Y100, man. Yep, I haven't seen her in ages.
Yeah, so, and, you know, actually my cousin's here. An old friend of mine is coming up. So, yeah, nice. It's going to be a nice little Delco reunion here in left field.
I think so. You guys all from Philly? Everyone here?
Delco!
They didn't say yes to Philly.
Yeah. No,
sure
no.
It was Delco.
Hell no.
Delco. Where in Delco?
Brookhaven.
Parkside.
What
Parkside,
parish?
Brookhaven. I lost my virginity to a Parkside girl.
And he's proud of it, folks.
And then she woke up.
Man. There's a nice group of people behind you, Steve, that are starting to...
President Steve shirt right over here.
Look at
the Batman shirt.
I love it. Oh, President Steve shirts. Yes, thank you, guys. And this is the door's just open, I think we're going to have quite a few people here that want to hang out for a bit. So, and it's a beautiful day, man. It's like 65 degrees now, finally getting nice and comfy.
And it's been that way all morning.
No, it has not. It started off at like 35 degrees. It was insanely cold this morning. But we are at the end of today's broadcast day, for us anyway. We have a gentleman who's going to be taking over. But you know what? Quickly, before we do talk to Pierre, we had a number of people on the show today, and I want to make sure that I thank each and every one of them who are on the phone, who are here to meet up with us. First and foremost, our very first guest this morning, manager Gabe Kapler came by.
Yes.
Yeah, he was incredible. He's such a nice guy. He had surprises for us. He let Casey take batting practice, and he told me that I get to throw out the first pitch at the game today.
That's so
which
awesome.
Is pretty amazing. So I'm going to be doing that, around 12:50. So I got a couple hours before time to get out there and throw the first pitch. Charlie Manuel was awesome.
That guy tells stories, and you just start, he sucks you in with all the great stuff.
Yeah.
So many years in baseball, and he just adores the sport.
You could talk to him all day long. Larry Boa came by.
Yeah,
as well. Larry's
very funny,
just as cool. Also, we had Reese Hoskins.
Yeah,
our first time.
He was great.
Hanging out with. He was really cool.
Yeah,
and I'm looking forward to another great season with him.
Absolutely.
And he's just a super duper nice guy. Cameron Rupp.
Yeah,
is hilarious. he's just a dude.
Does this look like prison?
Yeah, exactly. We were talking about that. And thank you also to Jameson Euler, transplant. Used to work at NBC 10 in Philadelphia. Now here down at the ABC affiliate. And we wanted to catch up with him because he's an old friend. And also Greg Murphy from NBC Sports Philadelphia and Scott Palmer, who jumped on as well, and John Brazier. So there's been a lot of people. It's been a fun morning, man.
I've
really enjoyed this. So we're now going to get to take in a game. They're playing the Blue Jays here in a little while. Tomorrow against the Braves for St. Patrick's Day, which is just a huge event that takes place.
Saying that where we are right now is going to be 8, 9, 10 people deep from, from the
just from here to the fence?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so that's cool, man.
They're expecting like 13,000 people for a stadium that holds how many?
I don't know.
11.
Wow. So let's see if our friend is back in the studio, Pierre Robert.
Why, good day,
ballpark
people.
How are you, man?
Fine, thank you.
Wonderful. We've been having a blast here. Go ahead, sir.
It totally sounds like you've been having a blast, but what was interesting to me is Steve's comments earlier. You're down in sunny Florida, and it was like 37 degrees or something.
Dear God. It was brutal this morning, but now the sun's out, and if I look at the
temperature gauge.
It's 10:42. Let's see how quickly it switches over. 59 degrees.
Okay. It's getting there. It's going to get up to low 70s today, so it's actually going to be really, really pleasant. I see an MMR sweatshirt, somebody walking the other way right now.
Nice.
So a lot of love for the station here, Pierre.
That's very cool. And are you broadcasting from this tiki bar? I don't know the
We're
setup.
Right to the side of it, actually.
Yeah. And that's where you're going afterwards to hang for a while.
Yeah, right. We're going to stay, right here in this area, and I'm looking at already about, a good 50 people standing right out the doors. Yeah. Go ahead.
Very cool. And you've been outside the whole day, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
We started very...
Oh, yes, we have.
Preston and Steve shirts that showed up. Hey, guys.
Hey.
How are you? So we started like 5 a.m., and we met the manager, Gabe Kapler. He was just walking through the parking lot, and we pulled up. It was awesome.
Gabe Kaplan?
Yes, from Welcome Back, Carter.
Wow.
Amazing. No, Gabe Kapler is the other physical extreme from Gabe Kapler. He is...
Were you wearing sweatshirts and stuff when you started, or because was it a little chilly?
I'm still wearing one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm down to T-shirt, but I came here I had my coat on. It was unpleasant.
Nippy. Yeah. So I'm wondering if you guys were listening on your drive out to the airport yesterday, because I was giving you travel advice.
Yeah, I stopped and took a picture with some trees.
Nice.
Yeah.
Because I was saying how nervous you all were getting out of the studio and running, and I'm saying, now, guys and gals, if you're listening... don't rush. You see that nice tree over there? Why not pull over and take a picture with it? In fact, give that tree a hug. Oh, and go a little further, and you'll see that little spot. You see that shiny light? Yes, pull off and observe that for a while and see if you can find oneness and nirvana with that light.
Oh,
and,
wow.
So I thought you might get a good guffaw out of that. Were you listening to me? But clearly you weren't, so that's all right.
Well, we were too busy doing what most people do, which is making their flights.
Well, and
on time.
And I was calling Winter Airport Parking, and I was calling you guys because we ran into traffic. And then, so we got it with like, I don't know, 15 minutes to spare, which is enough time to grab your sundries if you need them and relax.
A tree.
And instead of coming screaming up to the doors as they're shutting it and saying, please let me on the plane.
Throwing lotions out.
It's just the way we roll.
We ran into Brett Hamilton in the at the airport.
Brett was on our flight, Brett Hamilton from Y100. It was great.
Well, you see, if you just follow my advice, 15 minutes early is like 5 hours early for me. So
if we had followed your advice, we'd be talking from where you are right now.
Exactly. And there's something to be zenning about that. But
exactly.
With that having been said, maybe it's letter time.
It is letter time. Jason, if you will.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
T as in totally trombone Tommy.
All right, then let's take caller number six.
The love child character.
Caller number six at 215-263-WMMR. We have this trip that we are going to give away to Los Angeles, which I'll tell you about in just a moment or two. So we're going to turn the reins over to you in just a few minutes, Pierre. What's coming up on today's program?
A lot of fun. We'll have this entrance to St. Paddy's Day, a block of St. Patrick's Day, Irish sorts of songs and artists and stuff like that. What are you laughing at?
I'm sorry. Your description was so compelling.
Irish, so Irish. It'll be Irish stuff. Yesterday I was talking about Stephen Hawking. I go, dude was smart. And that caused a lot of people to find that amusing. He was very smart.
He was anyway, very smart.
Foo Fighters will be in the workforce blocks. We'll do a block of the band we're going to look at all through the weekend, which is 1984. We've got a great MM Archive session to play for you at 1:30, which is the Dropkick Murphys. And I believe this is when they were on your show doing Rose Tattoo, which is way cool. Also, we will have U2 tickets when you hear Bono say that MMR saved our lives, and a vinyl cut, and a weekend calendar, and Pierre's planner. It's a good Friday to be with us.
Nice. Pierre, I want to do something. Everybody, MMR fans, get close. Come in really, really close over here. Come on, everybody, gather in. I want to do something. Let's get everybody in here.
Right.
And when I count to three, everybody say, hi, Pierre. Okay, you ready? One, two, three.
Hi, Pierre!
Those are all our MMR fans here. How about that?
That warms the cockles of my heart.
He said his cockles are warm now.
Yeah, but he's going to put some ointment on them.
Yes. All right, so we need to go to the phone and see if we can give away our Word of the Week prize. Now, I have no idea if this is going to work or not. It didn't work earlier, and there's such a glare on this screen, I can't even see the damn cursor. Hang on. Okay, now I got it. Thank you, Marissa. I'm going to go to Mike. Hey, Mike, can you hear me? Mike, are you there? Nope, no dice? Okay, Mike, I'm going to put you on hold because Mike has, is that the right word?
Well, it's a combination of concepts.
Okay. Oh!
It's a combination of concepts.
I got it.
Let Pierre take care of the technical stuff.
Pierre's going to rewire everything.
Jesus. you guys handle it back at the station. Hey, Mike, are you there?
Hello,
hey, Mike.
Hello.
You take it, Pierre. Go ahead.
So, Pierre. Mike, do you know the word?
The concept is St. Pat.
You're out of here!
Yeah, you're out of here!
Or it's out of here! Yes. Or baseball stuff.
Baseball stuff, you're out of here.
All right, Mike got
Kokomo.
It right. At Kokomo. Kokomo. We're sending him to Kokomo.
Yeah.
No, we're going to send him to Los Angeles, and it is for the premiere Ready Player One,
wow.
WB's Ready Player One. And, dude, I'm so jealous of you. It's a movie I've really been looking forward to seeing. And the movie opens. I don't have my official information right here in front of me.
I got it right here.
Casey, when does it open? The movie opens. Well, by the way, he's going to go to the Dolby Theater in Los Angeles, and Ready Player One opens March 30th. In theaters everywhere. So congratulations, Mike.
Thank you.
All right, buddy, hang on the line.
Thank you very much.
We'll get your information and we'll take care of it. I need to take a moment to thank our sponsors, Preston and Steve Show, and this broadcast brought to you by Winter Airport Parking, the 2017 Reader's Choice Award winner from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Also brought to you today by French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville with everything you need for the great outdoors. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else? And the brought to you by Resorts Casino Hotel, where the summer party never stops. So we're done from sunny Florida.
Yeah, buddy.
Wrapping the program up now. We're going to go watch the Phils kick the Blue Jays' ass in just a moment here. But we're having a great time. It's been a blast. So thanks to the Phillies organization for having us out here. And, of course, Rodney, our engineer, and also known as our road manager. Yeah, Rodney.
Rodney is the man.
And Jason back at the station, and Rodney's friend Chris, who was here to help out as well. This has been a blast. So that is it. We are done. Ray John, have a great St. Patrick's Day weekend. We'll see you later from Florida, guys.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
I hate the mall. It is not a mall. It is utter chaos. It sucks.
Next message.
Fly all the way up. Fly all the way up. Come on, Eagles! Do your thing!
Yeah!
Eagles!
Next message.
I get it, but don't you see the three cars in front of me, and you're beeping at me, and trying to pass me, and flash your lights at me? Where the do you think you're gonna go? You're just gonna pull over! You're just gonna be a car in front of me, you
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR. Rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.